Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Hey, Jordan Harbinger here. Subscribe to the only show that will show you how to apply the world's greatest ideas from the most striking minds. After presenting more than 1,000 interviews, I couldn't be more compelled to introduce you to the Jordan Harbinger Show. We've got spies and CEOs, athletes and authors from Kobe Bryant to Malcolm Gladwell, Tony Hawk and Howie Mandel to the chairman of Google, founders of LinkedIn and Instagram, antiquities smugglers, con men, brilliant scientists, national heroes, and even the head of the CIA. Listed as Apple's best of 2018 and countless other awards that, let's be honest, you probably don't care about right now. So come and have a listen for yourself and join me as we exploit the superpowers of the world's most incredible thinkers, amazing achievers, and iconic change makers with their insights delivered right into your mind. You'll get that blueprint of their brilliance each week so that you can learn to live what you listen. Subscribe right now to The Jordan Harbinger Show, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you're listening now.
Napa know-how.
This month, Napa's got all kinds of motor oil deals that can save you some serious cash. Like a 5-quart jug of Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil for just $16.49. With savings like that, you may start feeling like a VIP. But don't let it go to your head. These oil deals are for everyone. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices not include applicable state local taxes or recycling fees. Offer ends 8/31/20.
Welcome back to Collider Live, the best show on the YouTube.
Woo!
You thought you got rid of me. You did not.
Didn't work.
Took a hiatus in Portland. I'm Roxy Stryer. Darina not here today. She's being evil elsewhere. I honestly don't know where. She's on a plane to hell.
I have no idea.
That's where she wanted to go.
Yeah, she's
tell
like,
us how you really feel about her.
She on purpose is taking a trip to hell. She'll let us know how it is when she comes back. Mark Riley sitting across from me.
Hello, everyone.
Kind of missed you, Mark.
Missed you, Rox.
I did.
I was like, I'm so glad you're here.
We talked on the phone quite a few times.
We did.
Just about our lives, how things were going, all that great stuff.
Curling irons.
I will get to the curling iron story. But before I do that, for the first time on this show together, the action industry guys, it is Andrew. I don't know whether to do Drew or Andrew. And Ben. Guys, welcome to the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Drew
for
Guy, Ben Bateman
partner in the house.
It's
my
like,
mortal enemy in my house.
You now just are Drew, but it's Andrew.
Yeah, but you're like family, so you can call me Drew.
I know, but I was like, I'm going to call him Drew, and then they're going to look for his Twitter handle.
They're not going to know who I am.
And they're going to not know.
Drew McQueen
Although
just
they
gets
all
like
know you.
100 new followers.
They know you guys from Action Industries. They know you from Schmodown. They know what Drew is, Andrew, and all that great stuff. Cody Hall also in the booth. Cody,
hey guys,
what's up?
I'm also here. Hi.
My favorite
Hi,
thing Cody. About Cody being here is that on Action Guys, we get Cody for exactly 2 minutes before he leaves the booth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like we're not doing a tight five to make him laugh anymore. We get the whole episode to try to make him laugh.
Yeah. But does it work or no?
We usually get one laugh.
It's like a pity laugh, and then we try another one, and then it's silent, and he's gone.
I am all too familiar with his pity laugh.
It's the worst feeling. He's going to be a good dad.
You'll know when it works is that he won't be on the mic. You'll just hear it next door.
Guys.
You'll hear a laugh.
Cringe worthy. I literally just heard it. Did you hear his one ha? Did you hear? I hear that sound. It haunts me in my nightmares. Yeah. And you guys know all I do is nightmare. I haven't had a dream since like 1994. That's the worst. That was a really sad. I don't know, guys. Whatever happened in Portland to me, clearly it came back with me. And
it's a weird place.
You know what? It was raining.
Yeah, of course it was. I'm from Oregon, by the way, so I can say that it's weird as hell.
Wow, I didn't even think about it, but I wasn't in Duck's place.
No. You're telling me because you were filming the entire time you were there.
Yeah, I was filming the whole time, so I saw nothing but where I was filming and the hotel room.
Yeah.
But I feel like I don't know Portland. I hear it's beautiful there.
It is, but I feel like I don't know Portland either. I left in 2010, and it's changed so much since then that when I go back, I don't really know it.
I thought it was cool to be there. My brother was a Duck as well. And so I was like, go Ducks. And they were like, what? I thought that that was all of Oregon. No, in Portland, they were not a fan of me saying go Ducks.
No, no, no. There's some beavers up there, too.
It was a bunch of angry beavers. The actual shoot was great, though, and I'll tell you guys about that in a minute. But we have a lot to go over today.
Yeah, we sure do.
And we also have an amazing guest joining us at the end of the show, Alan Richson, who I've been a fan of for so long, since 2004 when he was auditioning for American Idol, which is a crazy story about how he started and ended up making Paula Abdul fall completely in love with him. So many questions about that. Because what? Like, how did that even go down?
That just clicked with me.
Do you remember that?
Yes. That was when I was really watching American Idol.
Well, we can't not ask him about it.
Yes.
Because
okay.
Clearly it stuck with me as well. But there's so many other things like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Hunger Games and his new movie Turkey Bowl that we're going to discuss with him. But also tons of news. I missed some of it when I was away. Leave it to friends to announce when I was gone. I go to Portland, and Friends decides to announce that they're doing some kind of a reunion.
They are.
Like, what is that? I have a morning show that I am now the host of, and the first time I'm gone, Friends is like, here you go, where you are nowhere near a microphone, and you are not able to talk about this. That was devastating for me.
Yeah.
But I'm very excited about this news.
I think they knew and they wanted to fuck with you.
Yep.
Honestly, it feels that way. Like a personal attack.
Yeah, it was.
I'm surprised you didn't just live blog like from your hotel room. Just word vomit about how excited you are. When I think Friends, you are the first person that pops into, I bet, like 200 people's brains at least.
I didn't even tweet.
2 million people, probably.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I didn't even tweet.
I tweeted at you before you tweeted.
Everybody,
that's nice.
Everyone tweeted at me. I did nothing. I just saw the news and was like, got to get back to work.
You should have writers in all your contracts that if any Friends news breaks, no matter where you are, what you're doing, you have that moment on social media.
Yeah. So, but you're a big Friends fan as well.
I actually grew up watching Friends all the time. I am nowhere near your level.
But are you excited about a reunion?
I am, I guess. Like, I'm not over the moon excited about it like some people might be, but I think, why not, right? Like,
Mark,
I watch these people for
–
yeah, I understand.
Yeah,
there we go.
Cool.
Perfect.
Yeah,
I can step out
now.
In fact, we have security coming in right now. Hold on real quick.
You guys have security on your show?
No, it's Dorian. He just comes in and just goes, hey.
Dorian's not even here today.
No. Yeah, no, he's playing Jedi Fallen Order somewhere.
So you're not actually that into this?
I mean, I know it'll be a good time. I just know it won't be what it was. You know what I mean? I know I'll still enjoy it, and there'll be so much nostalgia there, and I bet it'll be hilarious for us that have watched it for so long. But it's just not going to feel quite the same, and maybe that's what'll be the best part about it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Maybe. Ben, you've been binging this show.
Yeah, I haven't finished it yet.
Does this make you want to finish it?
Definitely. My question is this. So I think for a long time on Friends, everybody's always like assumed that the most famous person was Jennifer Aniston. She was the person that like had the biggest career post-Friends. She truly became an A-list star.
Sure.
Is the only reason that this is happening because Jennifer Aniston has a show on Apple and is like, I need to do something really high profile because I'm high profile right now. So I'll just like pull my high profile card and just get this to happen. Because it feels like nobody else could get this to happen.
Does she have the power to just make all of the rest of them show up?
I don't think so, but I don't think if anybody else is like, I want to do this show, it'll happen.
I think it's an interesting question. I don't think that that's what's happening, but Riley, how do you feel?
Well, she also did that Instagram post, right, where they're all in the room.
Right.
Oh, maybe that was something that they were talking about.
She launched an Instagram. Obviously, she's trying to promote this show. She's trying to do a lot of things to get eyes on.
I think it helps. I think it's not – I think that people have been wanting this for a long time. Here's the thing. Does it change it for you? This is not a like – reunion where they're going to be playing their characters. It's going to be unscripted, so they're probably just going to be sharing memories.
Oh, okay.
All on the stage, which, hot take, I don't care about that.
Okay.
I would love to see them come back in character and do a scripted one-time show, where are they now kind of thing.
You know, I think that things can always change.
Yeah.
Because when I actually interviewed the Friends creators a year and a half ago, and they were like, under no circumstances will there ever be a reunion of any capacity, of any kind. We will not do everybody together on one show. We will not script something. There will not be one. We're not doing it. And clearly we are doing a reunion of some kind. Yeah. So I wouldn't hold out that you know, maybe one day. But I don't think that this is a Jennifer Aniston thing. I think that this is an HBO Max Warner Brothers yes. thing where they're like,
100%.
Hello, Disney, which we're going to talk about in a minute. We see your 10 million subscribers on yeah. day one, and we're scared of you, and we don't know how to combat that. Let's brainstorm. What can we do? Okay, Friends. It's either Harry Potter or it's Friends, because we don't have much to combat what you guys are doing right now. So we have to
right.
play our biggest card. And the fact that they're calling this the Friends reunion and mm-hmm. exactly how you just described it is what's happening.
Is that going to put butts in seats? I mean, it's like
yes.
I could see.
Yes.
I think
that's
what,
the crazy part.
Yes. Yeah. I guess so. I guess, but it's just less exciting for me to think, you know, they're all sharing memories and that's not must-see TV for me.
Well, what's interesting is I didn't read enough about it, apparently. I didn't yeah. know that's what it was. I was looking forward to more of what I thought it was going to be, which is like a scripted show. They all come back, play the characters. Where are we now?
Kind of like Will and Grace came back, but I know they did a series run.
And I think that also helps all the other careers other than Jennifer Aniston's, right? Brings yeah. them back on the big screen, shows that they can still act, remembers how much you love them, and then it's like, oh, yeah, I should cast – you know, Matt LeBlanc in something again. I should cast David Schwimmer in something. Whereas right. this is maybe not must-see TV, in my opinion. I'll watch it because I love Friends and I love the people, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I'll watch it. I mean, I'm interested.
I wouldn't be surprised, though, if they love working together. They're all still friends.
Yeah.
Which is why I feel like if they do this, they like working together, they decide they want to do – maybe it's not a series, but – four episodes, yeah. a movie, a short,
it's a movie. And HBO would do it as a movie, and then HBO would put it only on HBO like they did with the Deadwood movie, and it would be less exciting than it should be, but still very exciting, I guess.
See, I would love that if it was a movie and if it was mm-hmm. scripted and if they were back in their characters. That sounds fun to me, and it's just a one-time deal. But then we've seen it not totally work for certain things, like Entourage kind of tried the hour-long movie – or not hour-long, but a movie.
And it was awesome.
I liked it, actually.
Sex and the City 1 and 2. Sex and the City movies made a lot of money.
And they were both amazing.
Really? Okay.
Sex and the City 2
is the best.
Was garbage.
I'm pretty sure that –
thank you, Cody.
They can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that Mark Ellis and Christian Harloff walked out of Sex and the City 2.
I can confirm. I think that was true.
Were the three of you there?
What's that?
Were the three of you there?
I was not there. I heard about this.
Interesting image. The fact that you guys don't love My Soul, because that's what that means. Like, if you don't love that movie, you don't love me, is
that's
crushing.
Exactly what I'm saying, Rock
2.
Yeah,
Sex and the City 2
was excellent. I watched it at least 400 times in college. I had a DVD player that was broken, so you couldn't eject. And
you're like,
that was what was stuck in there. And I watched it almost every single night.
You're also the person that swears This Means War and What Happens in Vegas are like top 10 movies.
Those are both excellent movies. Have you seen either of them?
Nope.
Wait,
have
okay.
you seen either of those movies?
I have heard good things about This Means War.
Have you seen either of those movies?
Wait, what was the first one? What Happens in Vegas?
Yeah.
Of course I've seen What Happens in Vegas.
You know why.
I like,
you guys at home know what I'm talking about when she kicks him in the nuts every time. It's just all I've ever wanted to do. Best movies.
Very much the Citizen Kane of
shitty taste,
Vegas movies.
Cody, any feeling on Friends or This Means War or What Happens in Vegas or Sex and the City 2?
And you know what's at stake, Cody.
Yes. Sex and the City 2. How? How in the world? This woman is upset at her wonderful life with Mr. Big and then goes and cheats on him with Hayden.
We all needed that kind of drama in our lives. It was a tough situation. We loved both of them, Mark.
Do you know
– what do you do when you love two people?
I'm a huge Sex and the City guy. I watched every episode. I watched these movies.
Loved the second movie.
I did not love the second movie. I was married at the time, and I was, you know, we were there and we were watching, and we got in a fight over it because
it was so
bad.
It was too close to home. I understand.
Sex and the City 2 caused my divorce.
There it is. There it is. You heard it here first.
We're kidding.
This will make press.
Are you kidding? It was
so
something.
Cody, can you
else?
Clip that?
Again, breaking my soul. Something that's probably causing divorces other places. Mm. Disney Plus. This is a divorce between me and Darina right now, and why she's not on the show. Disney Plus had 10 million people subscribe the first day. Correct, Mark?
Correct.
10 million. Darina's not a fan of this. because she says that Mickey Mouse is out to get us all.
Yeah, yeah.
And
you should have seen some of the titles being flown around today.
It was wild. She was like, but what about evil Mickey Mouse destroys planet?
Disney owns us. Mickey Mouse murders children.
It was literally like
something
that.
Along those lines, yeah.
So what's happening right now?
So according to numbers that Disney released, 10 million people signed up for their new streaming service the very first day. So that's all we've gotten so far, and that they're projecting between 60 and 90 million global subscribers by 2024. So that gives us about 4 years.
I was under the impression.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my God. The creepiest sound.
Yeah. What was that?
It was Goofy.
Whoa.
But that's Goofy on his way to the bank.
Either do a Mickey or Pluto or whoever that was impression or leave the room. Ben, starting with you.
True. Well, 10 million subscribers, huh? Mike? Haha, Pluto, haul ass.
Cody?
Oh, boy.
Wow. He's got the reverb. That was strong.
Play the game if you're in the room.
You know, this reminds me of the time we tried to laugh like the Joker.
And I sucked at that, too.
No, you're pretty good.
So basically, you're saying I just can't do anything. Yeah.
No, it did. You filled in some blanks there.
Oh, my God. Finally, two people acknowledged it. In all of our whole, everyone that watches the show and follows on the social media, one person mentioned me like, that was a really good Joker laugh. And now Roxy says it. Not a word from anyone else.
Did somebody on our show acknowledge you had a good Joker laugh?
Yeah.
That happened.
It did.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. Okay. I dreamt it.
Well, let's hear it.
Ah, no, it's all right. Yeah. You can watch the show.
I mean, you can't throw something
That's
out
a good
there.
Tease.
What show is that they could watch?
Oh, you know, Action Movie Anatomy over on the Popcorn Talk Network. You can watch
Hell
it
yeah.
every single Monday. And just go watch our Joker episode. I do it a bunch of times.
I thought you did it on this show, on The Action Guys. In this
I did it on
right
both.
Here.
Oh. But, yeah. You know.
I haven't figured it out yet.
It's a weird one.
Wait, what did I do last time?
I think you were like,
hey! It's really good.
That was a good dolphin.
It's really good.
It's a good dolphin. So, a great dolphin.
Thank you. Going back to Disney Plus for a second,
sure.
Guys, because this is a platform that I thought was going to be really strict on sharing, and they have not been. You're allowed to have multiple users on the same account. So hearing that 10 million people signed up for this – I don't know why I called it million, but 10 million people.
Million.
10 million people signed up for this means that not 10 million users, 10 million different people
accounts.
Have signed up accounts, which means that way more people are watching this right now. Were you guys surprised by that number, or because it's Disney, that kind of seems par for the course?
Par for the course.
Yeah, you signed up. So
I mean, I signed up. So and my feeling on this is like – so that joke, the Dorina joke about the evil mouse, right?
Yeah.
It's like a common joke at this point. There's
sure,
a lot of people like to make that joke, right?
So you're saying Dorina's basic.
I just think that the idea that Disney is this like evil conglomerate that's taking over the world and we're all scared of them is like – it's been going back to like the mouse on South Park, right? Like that's a thing people have been talking about forever. The thing is I love Disney's content. I think that the management of their content and the fact that like the service is PG-13 at the top and they've acquired Fox, but they're going to have their R-rated content somewhere else, the quality of the MCU, in general the quality of their movies, I'm like really into it. I have no issues with this at all, and I'm actually not surprised because I think most people look at this and go, yeah, they're just the best. They consistently have the highest mark for quality. They bring the best people. They pay the most money. And yeah, they make the most money. But like, if it wasn't them, somebody else would probably be making that much money. But the content would be way worse.
Yeah.
Disney's content is great.
It's a great point, and I couldn't agree more. I watched Endgame last night because it's there.
So
and
good.
I love that movie.
Yep.
And I enjoyed it, and I was smiling, and I was having fun. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. And I think there are a lot of people that don't remember the Eisner period of Disney where they were in the shitter. Do you remember this? This was back.
Was I alive?
Probably not.
In the womb.
I'm trying to remember
are
what
you
the
talking
years
about, like,
were.
The early 2000s? No, I think you're talking about mid-80s. You're talking about you're talking about
it's
up
more
through.
In the 90s, I want to say. There was some times that Disney just wasn't – ABC wasn't doing very well. The shows, the movies were – and it was right around the time Pixar was coming out.
Oh, you're talking about
so
the premiere run, like Hercules, Mulan, Emperor's
Correct, because they were starting to go down. Remember Home on the Range?
This is getting a little bit schmodowny for me now.
Well,
it's a trivia fact,
it's
okay?
I'm just trying to prove a point here that all of this is cyclical.
Yep.
That this right now, they're doing well.
And they're on top.
They're on top. They acquired – I remember when they acquired Pixar. Pixar was doing its own thing just as Marvel was. And what Disney did was they looked and they went, oh my God, these companies are doing something great. great. We are distributing their content right now. But you know what? Let's buy them and let's start building. And they're giving, for the most part, the way it looks as much is that Marvel and Kevin Feige is able to do what they want to do. And the movies are being great. At that back then, Eisner had his hand in all this. And I think there was this idea that there were way too many cooks in the kitchen and we didn't have the Marvels and the Pixars. Now we do. But it'll change sooner or later.
Drew slash Andrew still haven't decided. What do you think?
I am medium on it. I don't like the idea of separating content into all these different platforms at HBO and Amazon and Hulu and Netflix and now Disney Plus. It makes it harder for the audience and especially people with lower incomes to be able to watch all this stuff. It used to be if you had Netflix and you had cable, you could watch basically all the things that came out and you and your family would go to the movie theaters once a month and you'd see the big movie. I don't like that that's being taken off the table. Now you've got to spend up to $50 a month if you want to be subscribed to be able to watch all your shows now that they're all separated.
Yeah.
This for me is the first step in there's the Netflix theater and there's the Amazon theater and there's the Disney Plus theater. So now we get to go watch only what we want to watch in these theaters that are now no longer AMC and Regal and Cinemark. They are now owned by these companies. So I'm fine with it. I didn't really not expect them to do really well. I think 60 to 90 million is astronomical, but it's also Disney and people love their content. And
how many does Netflix have?
Good question.
Way more than that.
I know. Way more, yeah. Yeah.
They've been
insane.
Around longer.
And I like
and they've been building their brand and their IPs and new IPs and all this kind of stuff. So
agreed. I'm just curious because I wonder where that projection's even coming from. Well, yeah, how do you guess something like
I think Netflix is in the hundreds of millions, I'm pretty sure.
I'm also wondering with – there's a lot of free trials and like Verizon free signups that are going into this Disney Plus number. So I'm wondering what it actually will drop down to.
I have it here as third quarter of 2019 had 60.62 million U.S. subscribers.
So they want to beat Netflix and they want to do it quick.
And then the global number in the third quarter of 2019 stood at 158 million.
Okay, wow. So Disney is talking about global projections or domestic projections?
Global.
All right, so they're not looking to beat Netflix globally.
Yeah,
but also Disney Plus is not launching globally until March, I believe.
Yeah, see, that's a bummer for our friends overseas who cannot see the Mandalorian right now.
Well, I didn't even think about it until I started getting a ton of tweets because we're talking Mandalorian on the show every week, just the same way that we talk Watchmen every week. And people started saying, I can't even access the show until March because I live in England and please, 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 no spoilers. That sucks.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's impossible. I get something spoiled for that long.
Why are they doing that?
I don't know. And
why is that their rollout plan?
That I don't know. And I've heard from certain people who follow the show. It's like, please don't spoil The Mandalorian while we wait for it. But then like the Netherlands gets it, which is an interesting thing. Yeah. It's like – and our friends at Force Center and current Jedi Council host Ken Knapsack and Joseph Scrimshaw, they were making fun of this because certain people were waiting for The Mandalorian to drop. And they're like – turn your Xbox to Netherlands time and you get it first. And people are like, okay. And I'm like, what's with the Netherlands?
Weird.
So I don't know. I heard
that
March.
That was a joke? They were messing with people?
No, for real.
That was a real thing?
If you turned your Xbox or wherever you get your app for Disney Plus, if you turn it to Netherlands time, it dropped before U.S.
And then you couldn't even get it when it had dropped in the U.S.
Oh, God, no. There was so many bugs. I got it right when the bugs were happening. Everybody was downloading it at that same time. I got the graphic of, you know, Pluto and Mickey in space going, ha ha, don't know. You know, and it's just – and I was like, great.
It's really good.
It's really good.
What, oh, mine?
Ha, your internet's fucked.
Yeah. I'm trying.
You just downloaded and you're fucked.
I got it, guys. I got it. Ha ha. Oh,
yeah, I know.
That's good.
You're fucked.
Kind of, yeah.
It's not very good. Drew, so you did not get Disney Plus.
I didn't because I'll probably just use his or someone else's that does have it. But honestly, I'm
– Same and same.
You rebel scum.
I was not dying to see The Mandalorian. I'm still excited to see it. I've heard great things. Oh, I know. Calm down. Calm down over there, Riley.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
But I'm sure I'll get it eventually. But these numbers, again, I'm very curious. With free trials, Verizon, and the price going to be going up and other people not having it, I just want to see what the real numbers are going to be. I don't love Disney Plus.
I think the weirdest thing about it for me is just – We now have had this period of growth of Netflix where Netflix has become the gold standard of what this whole idea was going to be. And we've all seen this coming for a while as the services were getting ready to launch. But in 5 years' time, what's the reality of Netflix as a company even having a chance to compete with Disney when they're just going to pull all the if they pull all of Pixar and all of the MCU and all the classic movies and it all gets pulled on Netflix and then the other companies start doing that too, I mean, people are excited about Orange is the New Black and there's some good original movies and Netflix does some big stuff, Roma or any of these big movies that get Oscar convention.
Like, Irishman.
Josh McCuga loved Roma.
But that's like you're talking about a couple movies here and there.
Sure.
The big reason people have Netflix is to turn it on and watch something beloved that's streaming that's on that platform.
Right. Here's what I'll say about that. I completely disagree. Mm-hmm. Netflix is massive. Netflix has all of the creators wanting to go to it because Disney is so strict with their creators.
It's fair.
They look at them and they say, here is how you fit into our puzzle.
Right.
Do this. And that's why they work with so many first-time directors because they know that they are more malleable and they're able to shape them as opposed to somebody like our Game of Thrones, Benioff and Weiss people who are like, deuces, Disney. I don't want to do what you guys are asking us to do. I want to go make my own content at Netflix. And as long as Netflix is getting the creators, they're going to have the best content. And as long as they have the best content, they're going to have viewers.
You guys are scratching the surface here. I think what a bigger conversation is like original material versus like branded based on, you know, books, remakes,
IP.
Mm-hmm. And I love Ozark on Netflix. I love that they did Roma. I love the
Stranger
Irishman.
Things, Black Mirror. Like,
Stranger Things,
great,
Black Mirror.
Great products.
And
Alan Ritchson in Black Mirror.
Right. And we were talking about these. And then when Martin Scorsese comes out and says, it's not cinema. Marvel's not cinema. And then Francis Ford Coppola doubles down, drinking his wine, going, yeah, they're fucking despicable. You know, all these different things. And
where's people your beret while you picture. Say that?
I know. Well, Josh McCook is getting me one in New York right now.
What was his name that he used for him?
What's
Josh's nickname for Francis Ford Coppola?
Beret.
Benny Beret or something?
Benny Beret. God, I don't know.
Cody, what was it? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Freddie Beret? Somebody.
Something like that. But then people start arguing this and like pointing fingers at Marvel and pointing fingers at Martin Scorsese. And it's like there are original stuff out there. It's just people are not seeing it. So when is that dam going to break? Because Netflix has original IP going on. Disney, as a writer, I'm not going to get my original movie to Disney. Mm-hmm. Netflix, though, I could. So,
although you could get it to Hulu, which is getting it to Disney.
Hulu is another great example. So I think there's something – there's this change. These streaming wars are going to draw lines in the sand. People are going to have to choose. And they might choose both, which you can do, which is beautiful. You can buy Disney Plus and also Netflix and get it all, right? But the idea is like how long is Disney is going to hang their hat on all their wonderful animated movies. All the movies are going to continue making Marvel, Star Wars, all these things. And Netflix has the opportunity now to go, here's Aroma. Here is Stranger Things. Here is another we don't even know. And I hope audiences go and watch it because even Brad Pitt – you see what Brad Pitt said the other day? He's like streaming or otherwise, people are watching these things. And that's good for artists and people that are creating. And that's what I hope – actually ends up happening more of.
Yeah, I agree with that. Also, I think that a lot of this for Disney, Mandalorian was a huge draw. But I was pleasantly surprised. I got a ton of shit on the internet about this. I forgot that Lady and the Tramp was a live-action movie that was launching with Disney+.
Yeah. Plus. Oh, that one of the new ones, yeah.
I knew it was coming, and I had seen Tessa Thompson do some red carpet, which always makes you know it's right around the corner.
Right.
But I didn't realize that it was one of the launching things for Disney+. So how excited was I after I watched Mandalorian, completely different tone, and it was like, now watching, and pushed me right through to Lady and the Tramp. And I was like, you know what? I'm just not going to touch it. Just going to keep on watching because
this
is –
how was it?
I really liked it. I really liked it. Cody, did you watch?
No, I just assumed that's what people would say.
No, it was really cute. I mean, it was Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah.
In live action with dogs that were adorable.
Did the dogs talk? Like human voices?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Like the lions in The Lion King.
Yeah. No, but not because there's also people. And also, do you guys remember the story of Lady and the Tramp?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Never saw it.
That shit was what?
Okay.
No, you know this about me. A lot of those classic that used to freak me out.
A lot of those classic cats Disney are movies. Freaky in the movie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they are.
No, you guys in this one? Yeah. They freaked me out in the old one.
No, this one. Yeah, but they were freaky in the old one and also racist.
Yes,
in this
they
one,
were.
They are. In this one, they're, and that's freaky in itself.
Yes.
In this one, they're freaky in a less racist way.
That's good.
So it's more fun to watch them.
Okay. Anyway. Always a good
Disney
reveal.
Had some good good old racist moments.
And they're
back
putting.
In the day.
Do you see they are putting that disclaimer before these original, like Dumbo?
Oh, really?
The animated Dumbo, the animated
Lady
and the
here
Tramp.
To defend everybody.
Yep, they're like basically paraphrasing Sign of the Times. This is what it was. We're keeping it intact, but those. That
so,
was back then.
You think Song of the South is going to make its debut
Song of the
on
South
Disney
will,
Plus?
No, Song of the never South will never make it. I don't think it will make
Why
it.
Why haven't you seen Lady and the Tramp?
There was like a handful of these Disney classics that I watched growing up. I did watch a lot of them once or twice. But for the most part, like my dad was taking me to go see like Memento and The Crying Game and stuff
see,
like that when I was a kid.
I stand by that.
I mean, it's not great. Like I watched some pretty awful – like I saw The Siege in theaters, I remember. That's like a movie that's like pretty tough. It's like a military
– What is The Crying Game?
That's like a 1992. Oh. That's a, I was exaggerating. I was four when that movie came out, but I mean, I.
But you did go see
what
it.
What is it?
Okay, Roxy, do you remember the part in Ace Ventura?
Pet Detective.
Pet Detective.
Hell yeah!
When he kisses Einhorn, and then he gets
Einhorn
in the shower.
Finkel is
Einhorn.
Finkel
Einhorn. Yeah.
Right, and he's in the shower.
Yep.
And
it's
he's
like the most famous.
And then the music plays. Okay. The Crying Game.
Yeah. Oh.
That's what it is. It's from that.
It's like the most famous like twist at the end of a movie where like a gender swap thing.
He's a she-she. She's a she-she. He's a she-she.
It's like very famous. Big Oscar movie.
Boom.
Big Oscar movie. Doesn't really live on. Nobody really talks about
it. It won an Oscar?
No, nominated for a bunch of Oscars. 92.
See, Neil Jordan.
This is why I can't do what you guys do.
I can't do it.
The holes in my knowledge. Like, ask me about
Sex and the
City.
I've been on the other side of saying you can. Yeah. Yeah.
You've done
had my moments.
Very well for yourself. We are going to go to break in a second, guys. But before we do, I do want to say my hand is in effing agony.
Yeah, can we please?
Just very quickly, I would like to tell you guys.
I put it in my tweet. You did a very Roxy thing.
I did a very Roxy thing. My hand is in agony. I'm literally having a hard time making words because of how much pain my hand is in. 2 Tylenol was not nearly enough. This morning I woke up. I turned my curling iron on. I asked you if you knew what a curling iron was. You laughed at me, so I'm going to assume other people know. But in case you don't, it just looks like a
– Guys, do you know what a curling iron is? I think it's kind of
– Yeah, but
also,
like,
I have a fiancé.
Sisters.
I had sisters.
Yeah, I know. Yep. Sisters. I went like this. I can't point that far because my finger doesn't go that way anymore. But a curling iron is just like an iron that is a rod that curls your hair. Yeah. And I grabbed it this morning after I turned it on like a fucking moron. And I torched my entire hand. So immediately I was like, uh-oh. I screamed. I dropped it. And then I YouTubed. What do you do when you burn yourself? Because that's what all good people do.
Ben, I feel like you're watching them.
That's what all good people do. And so I saw this YouTube video that says that you should put on as scalding hot water as you can on the burn.
Oh, my God.
Because it keeps it from bubbling. And I didn't feel like having a bubbling hand because my right hand, and I'm a righty. So I was like, okay. So I put water in the microwave in a bowl, and I put my hand into it, and I fucking stood there and cried with my hand in a bowl.
Now, in the video series that you YouTubed, was the next video like a guy jumping on a microwave from like far away or like barbed wire? Because this sounds like you were punked.
I don't know if I was punked because here's what I'll tell you guys.
You don't have a blister.
I have no blisters. I'm in agony.
I expected the guy in the video is like, who's just like, hold it. Gotcha, bitch.
Not what happened. And in fact, the person in the video did not have a burn, which was they were just telling me advice. And they didn't get me.
Hit that subscribe button.
But I will say that I do not recommend this at home because it was one of the most painful things that's ever happened.
I feel like telling people to put your burned hand in scalding hot water is one of those things that I would never do. That's just – you don't have a blister. And you should have a big blister because I've burned my hand on irons and curling irons before because of sisters and mothers.
And I do the cold water thing, the instinct that we all do.
Yeah,
and
which
blisters
is very
up.
That's
the wrong probably because of the temperature change.
I just think that if I was more whole of a human these days, I would not have YouTubed what do you do when you burn yourself and listen to the first video that I watched. So on that point, Drew, I agree. F that person for making
views.
That video. Screw that person for making that video. And also screw me for taking that person's advice. Okay, we're going to cut to commercial, guys. And then we're going to come back talking all different news. And I swear my burnt ham will still be here for you guys all to laugh at. See you soon.
Hey guys, it's Perry here to let you know that Movie Talk is moving. We've had a great time in this 3 p.m. Pacific slot, but guess what? We want you to start your day with Collider Movie Talk, so we're moving. 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. It's going to be a lot.
They already moved.
Longer show with some brand new segments, so tune in starting Monday, September 16th, 9 a.m. Pacific. See you there.
Hey, everyone. John Rocha here, the host of Collider Sports Time. Well, you know, if you've been watching us every week, you know we break down the latest and the greatest in the world of sports, talk about the big issues, the big games, all of it with a rotating band of guests like Matt Nosh and Josh McCouga. We've had Taylor Brashadi on. We've had so many great guests. Now, if you want to see more of Sports Time or you want to try it out for the first time, remember to subscribe to Collider Sports YouTube channel for all the sports goodness.
Hey guys, it's Riley here. Let me tell you about the Riley Roundtable. You know it, right? It drops every Thursday on Collider Conversation.
Most Thursdays.
All across the space. John Rocha, Gray Drake, Alexander Desplat came on at one point. We talk everything from movies, we talk about life, and everything in between. What do you want to hear? What do you want to talk about? It's the Riley Roundtable every Thursday on Collider.
Some Thursdays.
Get it there.
Hi, I'm Coy Jandro, host of Collider Heroes, and I'm here to tell you we've got 20-minute episodes coming at you on Collider Video, on the YouTube, as you've always loved it. Plus, now we've got hour-long podcasts dropping every Thursday, so make sure to subscribe to the podcast because it's going to get even more sweaty on the podcast. Plus, every week we're going to try to get some very special guest interviews, all of the people that help shape these movies and TV shows you love. So, video, podcast, interviews all coming at you. Be sure to subscribe. Thanks so much, guys. Stay sweaty.
What's up, Collider fans? Ryan Satin here from ProWrestlingSheet.com, where you can find the top stories throughout the week in the world of professional wrestling. If you're a wrestling fan like myself, then you'd be doing yourself a disservice by not checking out all the shows we do every week on YouTube.com/C/WrestlingSheet. In particular, on Wednesdays, we've got a SmackDown recap show.
Don't think that one's happening anymore.
Where we pick apart and talk about every little thing that happened on the Blue Brand. So do yourself a favor and go subscribe at youtube.com/C/WrestlingSheet.
Hey guys, Riley here, and let me tell you about Rule of Two. You looking for a Star Wars fix? Well, Rule of Two is that show. It drops on Collider Video's main YouTube channel, as well as on Podcast One's Jedi Council feed. So go over there, subscribe, share it with your friends. It's hosted by myself and Mark Fernandez. We talk everything in the Star Wars universe with a lot of deep dives and a lot of conversations that go all in. You know what to do. Subscribe, join us there, and rise.
Hey everyone, John Rocha here, the host of Collider Mailbag. A new episode drops every Saturday and Sunday in your face and in your ears, answering the questions from you fans about the world of entertainment, film, and television. Me and great guests from our sphere do the best to answer your questions from Twitter, from Instagram, and of course, email as well, every Saturday and Sunday.
Hi, I'm Amy Dallin, one of the hosts of Collider Heroes, and starting right now, you can catch our show Tuesday nights with a new Collider Heroes and a longer Collider Heroes podcast, where Coy and I are going to talk your ears off. You already know that's coming. So make sure to go to YouTube, subscribe, and find us on the Collider Heroes podcast feed for all of that sweaty goodness.
The Witching Hour is all over Collider right now. You can listen to that horror-filled podcast with myself, with Haley Fouch. We talk about witchiness. We talk about slashers. We talk about space horror. You name it, all on that show on the Collider Factory feed. And on top of that, you can find an article all about Witching Hour every single Tuesday on Collider.com. Check it out. Get scared. Hopefully you survive the Witching Hour. Welcome back to Collider Live.
Yeah.
What's happening?
I was trying to remember the actor in The Crying Game who got the Oscar nomination.
I thought you were going to continue telling us that Reba McEntire was in Sex and the City.
That didn't happen.
That did happen.
Definitely happened. It was on camera.
Don't lie to the people.
Ray? Rhea? Stephen Rhea. Stephen Ray.
Stephen Ray, yeah.
No, Stephen Ray was in it, yeah, but...
He's the guy that got the Oscar nom for it, Stephen Ray.
It was me.
R-E-A.
I did it. Oh, my God, I'm... pissed I asked. Who cares about Steven Rhea?
Rhea.
I don't even know. Rhea.
Let's talk about other news, Riley.
I'm looking up Crying Game. No, I'm kidding.
He's definitely looking up Crying Game.
Fair enough. I'll just talk to my friend Cody. Cody, how's everything going?
It's going good, Roxy. How you doing?
I'm okay. How's dad life?
Today was his first day at daycare.
So oh my God.
He's really sad.
Did you guys
freaking out?
Yeah. Yeah, I was a little emotional.
Yeah.
Wow. A daycare, like with babies.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Because you guys got to work.
Yeah.
How do you decide that you have my child's life in your hands for the next 8 hours? Yeah. How do you actually make that decision?
No worries.
Yeah, no worries. You'll be fine.
Yeah, you got it.
All right, perfect.
Wow. Did you interview them with a pistol on the table kind of thing? That's what I would imagine I would do.
Hey, dude, can you imagine? It's like, so.
Cody, sir, is that a child? Is that a cap gun?
Cody, was that a pity laugh we just got?
No, that was a solid laugh.
Oh!
Mm-hmm. Cody, what's the over-under on action guys making you laugh today? Three? We got three? Four?
Three and a half, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No. Roxy, that's an under. Roxy doesn't buy it.
Under.
Under. I'm going under.
Drew makes me laugh.
Very good. Very good. There's a lot of news to talk about.
Do you want to get to the news?
Why don't you lead this show too, Ben?
Let's talk about
it. I don't know why I said it like that.
Love that out of you, Drew.
My God.
I appreciate you.
Oh, my God.
Oh. I had a front row seat for that.
I did not even think about
it. I saw time slowed. It was like The Matrix, which he hasn't seen. Slows. Bullet time.
That was brutal.
And it was a good high five.
Wow, so the high five was excellent.
The comedy
which
version the worst.
Of that movie would have slowed down, and Rock should have been like,
and you would have had a blister that popped.
Oh, yeah, but I didn't. I'm your
God.
Binder blister you told me about.
I had a binder blister pop.
Ugh.
What's that?
Well, so
that
thing? I had an iron fall in my hand when I was 10 or 11. My mom was ironing clothes on her bed, and I sat on the bed, and it fell on my head. I don't know why that she did that to me. It was a trap. It was a specific trap set.
It does feel like a you thing.
It does.
It feels like a you problem, not a her problem.
She literally says to me, do not sit on the bed from her bathroom as I sat on the bed. Then I was walking through school, walking just to class. This big ass blister on my hand, and my friend's binder caught it and ripped it open.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, it was bad.
The fact that I've had to hear that story twice before 11 a.m.
I'm just going
to
keep saying it. Binder blister.
I feel ill.
Hard hitting topics. My hand hurts.
Mark Riley, talk to us about the news. What is going on in the world right now? We actually have a ton of news today.
We have a lot.
Midweek news.
Would you like to hit some Aquaman 2 news? Because we have confirmation from Patrick Wilson that he is returning as Ocean Master.
Yeah.
Guys, thoughts on that?
Not surprised. Patrick Wilson's great in the movie. He also, I was lucky enough to do the junket with him, and he is the sweetest, coolest, most dedicated, was all about it. Interesting that we're talking Aquaman news today with Alan Ritchson coming on, first live-action Aquaman ever.
Because he was Aquaman, yeah.
Yeah, kind of wild. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that this makes sense. Aquaman was announced 4 years in advance, so they've got a lot of time to announce other casting.
Mm-hmm.
And
4 years.
Yeah, it's going to be a four-year gap between the first one and the second one.
I wonder why that is.
It's a big chunk of time.
Yeah, that's about a same gap for Man of Steel 2, I guess. Yeah. Oh, wait. There's no Man of Steel 2.
I think Aquaman. Aquaman wasn't my favorite movie.
Sorry, that's my thing, Rox. Have you gotten this now? Every chance I get, I will bring up Man of Steel 2.
I know.
That's my thing.
I do love Man of Steel.
But here's,
I love Man of
thank
Steel.
You. Man of Steel, thank you.
Get over yourself.
Oh, shut your mouth.
But if I have to be honest, get over yourself.
I'm not going to get over it.
I'm
not going to get over it.
The freaking dog is more important than the dad, man. How are you going to watch that movie?
Oh, boy.
How are you going to watch that movie?
I'm not. I talk about binder blisters being opened again. Mm. Open wounds.
Okay.
Son of
Aquaman, though.
Aquaman. Here we go.
Here's my question for you guys, Patrick Wilson. So, because Aquaman, not my favorite movie. He is good in the movie. I like Patrick Wilson a lot. He's actually one of my favorite
in
his class of actor. I looked at you because it's DC. My question to you guys is, so Patrick Wilson, I just watched in Midway last weekend.
Yeah.
And he's on the billboard. He's one of the big stars in the movie. Is he A-list? He's not, right? He's in A-list movies, but he's not A-list. He's exactly the kind of actor that gets to be support in a DC movie.
I just don't even know if that's a term
anymore.
Yeah. You know why? Because it's brand. It's all brand. So Aquaman is the A-list. and Patrick Wilson is just in his orbit.
He's,
you know,
just
what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if Jason Momoa's A-list.
He feels A-list. He feels if you're leading Aquaman, you are Aquaman in the movie, you have to be an A-list actor.
I think if I asked
I don't know if I agree with that. No.
Yeah. What do you think, Drew?
Well, I think if Aquaman was a story you'd never heard of, if it wasn't an IP that was already out there in the world, then yes, you have to have an A-list star in there. But Jason Momoa is... He looks a certain way that people like. He's coming off Game of Thrones, and
is that your way of saying he's handsome?
I just think it's like the same way The Rock. Like my sisters will always talk about how like, oh, that guy's really handsome, but then they'll like talk about like The Rock or Jason Momoa, and they'll just be like, you know what
There's
I mean?
Something primal going on there.
He looks a way that people like.
People, I mean, I like. I mean, he's a good looking guy. He's
I agree with that statement. For
but
sure.
It's like the same thing with like he looks. The way that I think Aquaman needs to look now for this audience, same way Hemsworth fills the role for Thor. It's like he just looks like that god. For us, Aquaman fills that role, but I don't think he's an A-list star. I don't think Jason Momoa is A-list because how many other movies could you put him in that didn't have an IP? Something
or
like Aquaman, and he would just lead, and you'd be like, oh, yeah, I'll go watch a crime thrill with Jason Momoa as the lead.
I gauge things by asking my little sister and my Grammy.
Yeah. Do you know this guy?
Yeah, that's how I gauge things. If you're going to be A-list, which there's such a small amount of people at this point, but if you're an A-list celebrity, they both have to know who you are. And I kind of doubt that – I doubt either of them know who Patrick is. And I think that probably half of them would know who Jason Momoa is.
One of the two of them, you mean?
Half of them.
Grammy and your little sister?
Yeah.
Half of them. One of them.
One half of them.
Fair. Mm-hmm.
What?
I don't know. You said half of them. I was like, I started thinking about half of your grandmother, and I was like,
half of my grandmother likes it.
No, half of the two of them. One of the two of them would probably know, and I think that would probably be my grandmother. I don't think my sister would know who Momoa was.
Interesting.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because she didn't watch Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm. And not Aquaman.
I don't think she's seen Aquaman, so why would she know who he was?
When?
Yeah, it's fair. It's a fair point. The conversation we had last night that made me think of this was the conversation about Jeremy Renner, who is obviously incredibly famous, and those movies have made so much money, and he's been like one of the main Avengers now for almost, 7 years. But is Jeremy Renner A-list? Kind of. He is in the sense that he can be an Avenger, but like he can lead Wind River, and that movie can be amazing, and no one sees it.
Right.
The other thing is that Will Smith comes out – Will Smith, A-list, right? Everybody agrees
sure,
that.
Sure,
Will
agree. He is.
Comes out in Gemini Man, movie loses $130 million. So I don't even know what the point of being A-list is.
We've had so many conversations about this on live, and that's that it's the movie is the A-list, and it's the secondary with the actor. Because we're going to go see a Marvel movie no matter who they plug in there, right?
Yeah.
It only enhances it. Like Chris Pratt coming in as Star-Lord, you're like, that's awesome. But you're going to go see Guardians of the Galaxy because Marvel's on the header there.
Well, the rock star just exponentially grows. But even when Hercules came out, he was still like maybe the most famous celebrity in the world. And that movie did not do well at all. So it's
– I'm having a flashback, Drew.
Yes, we've had this conversation. Something similar to it.
Are we on – we're on opposite sides of the fence, right? What was it? The Rock
Hercules?
Versus Tom Cruise?
No, that was – you and Kalinowski had that
Okay.
On your other show.
I was just going to say I feel like I've had this similar conversation.
Drew and I had this. I'm having deja vu.
Wait. Well, we both think The Rock is like the most famous person –
Oh, we were on the same side.
I think so. Yeah, I just think Tom Cruise is a bigger movie star.
Yeah, that's. I think we've all talked about is the Nick Cage conversation, and is he? And it's like obviously he's not an A-list projects anymore, but Nick Cage still does feel like an A-list name.
For sure, I think he is. But again, I don't even like the term anymore.
A-list, yeah,
because I don't know if it does anything for you. Like being A-list should mean that you can open any movie you want to millions of dollars, and if you can't do that, then what's the point? I feel really bad for Will Smith. Not.
Yeah, he's fine. He'll be just fine.
He will be
this
just
suit is
fine.
Black knot.
Yeah, his suit is black knot. What is that from?
Come on. Get there.
Oh, you are great. All right, Riley, what else you got for us?
Well, let me ask you this. Would you consider Mark Wahlberg A-list?
First of all, you're talking to a Boston girl, so
that's
damn right.
Yes.
Forever and ever.
Well, he's joining Tom Holland in the Uncharted movie, so that got a little bit of A-list stardom there. So he was originally going to play Nathan Drake back when David O. Russell was going to direct it. But this thing.
What year was that?
I think it was 1985. This thing has been going on forever.
Probably like around the mid-60s, right?
Yeah. Mid-60s.
Maybe.
When was the first silent picture? That was 1947?
Probably back then.
It was back then, but now he's...
No, we weren't silent in the 40s, Riley.
I have no idea. That's something...
20s.
Ben, help me out here.
USC, do it proud. 40s had straight-up movies.
I'm in the talking pictures, Riley.
Yeah. 27 is the first time.
They call them talkies, don't you know? Put up your mitts. All right, so Mark Wahlberg is in final talks. I'm moving on here.
Do it. That's fine. I tried to put up my mitts, and I can't close my hands. So that's what happened.
If you want to just
how about put up your mitt?
Yeah.
Just put up your mitt and your paw over here. All right? Just keep it on the side here. Use this. Keep your eyes on me. Float like a butterfly. Sting like a bee.
Why, Iota?
Exactly. It's Mark Wahlberg, cute. Final talks. He's going to co-star as Tom Holland, and it's the Uncharted origin story. Is this from
Uncharted?
It's the Uncharted.
There it is.
Yeah. But anytime Cody does this, it makes me think that Cody actually gives a crap about
Uncharted.
This.
Yeah,
are you an Uncharted?
I was
going to
say, he
Cody?
Must like the game.
I love the series.
Yeah, it's a good game. Interesting. It's a great
the
game.
The game's so much fun.
Games.
And you're excited about this casting?
I think so. He's playing Sully, right?
He's playing Sully. Yeah. So he's now playing the mentor to Tom Holland's younger Nathan Drake, which is the origin story. And so here we are. It's kind of coming full circle for him.
So from a gal who knows...
Zero.
Wow, gal?
Wow, Mark Wahlberg does that.
Put up your mitts there. Gal.
From a gal who knows absolutely nothing about this story.
Yeah.
His name being Sully makes me think he's like a Boston Irish guy. Is that the case?
You're kind of right on.
Is that true?
I think... Cody, do you... I mean, he's kind of like...
I just know he's old.
He's older, salt and pepper hair, mustache, cigar.
Mark Wahlberg's old? Or Sully?
The Sully character
like
in the 50s, game.
Right? 50s,
yeah.
60s?
Like, if you were to cast...
Cody, is that what we're calling old?
Well, sorry.
Older than Tom
older
Holland.
Than Tom Holland.
Yeah. 50s old. Wow.
But Sully feels like...
Yikes.
Are you 50, Roxy? What's wrong?
No, I'm with you.
Okay.
We're at the same point in our lives.
Defended.
No, I just... 50 feels closer than
okay, so
I thought.
The middle-aged
Roxy's
Sully,
very
Riley,
concerned right now.
Middle-aged Sully, yeah. But the game version is more of a like a Sean Connery back when he was like, I would say,
an
the
entrapment.
Rock.
Okay.
The Rock, you know, when he's nice. Like kind of that age. entrapment, that's good. But yeah.
I
so
laughed,
now,
but I didn't get it.
It's a bad movie.
Entrapment?
Okay.
Sean Connery with, what's her name?
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah.
It's a really good one. Do you use that more?
What?
That voice.
Your Connery voice?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Or do you want me to? I'll finish the news doing Sean Connery.
When we do study sessions, he actually does a lot of them in that voice.
That's too bad.
Absolutely.
Oh my God, you guys doing study sessions?
He does, but this got weird.
I will study everything.
Okay.
So, I mean, we can move on. I mean, this has gone nowhere.
I just don't want him to be who he is in The Departed. Yeah, I just don't want that.
Right. I don't know
because
how
because what? Because you didn't like that character or because you don't want to see it again?
Because I don't like that character as a mentor. Mm. I like him as what he was in The Departed for what he was.
Yeah.
But he couldn't have been Queenan. He couldn't have been Martin Sheen and been acting that way. He needed
that's
to be kind of like the young, hot guy that still knows more than you and is still in a position of power. But I want him to be a little bit more of like a father figure to Nathan Drake, to Tom Holland. Because he could never be mean to that little sweet guy.
That's where... You little.
Yeah,
I don't
do
know.
That.
He's kind of annoying.
Really?
I love him, but I'm just saying I could be mean to him.
Okay, I could. He would
just,
probably
I
let you.
Picture it.
I just wow, want. Thanks. I just want like I want some more grounded, like less macho, masculine, aggressive performances out of Wahlberg at some point because
right.
I think that guy, the top of what he shows as an actor, is great. But it, even in like my favorite movies that he's been in, and I think this would the only one I would throw out is Boogie Nights because it feels like a unique performance. But all the rest of them, like Lone Survivor, which I freaking love, he's still so like. I'm leading this. Like, whereas, like, I just want to see him be like a human who feels relatable. Like, I would know you in life. I'd meet you. You feel like a real person.
You know what's wild about that is that I feel like grew up in a very relatable, bro-y house. I mean, obviously he has things in his past that he's very ashamed of and whatnot as well. But I'm just saying it's not like he grew up super wealthy. I'm the leader. Always. This famous guy who people can't relate to. So I'm surprised that he has that effect.
He even tries, though. Deepwater Horizon, Patriots Day. They'll try to put him in these situations where he feels like the everyman type a little bit. And he still feels too heroic. I want him to be a little less heroic, a little more like he's not in the best shape, and maybe he's losing some hair, and maybe he's kind of weak, and maybe he's – like, he just needs to do that. That's how I need to take him seriously for the rest of his career as an actor. I need to see a little bit of that because he's so exactly this one thing and has been for so long now.
Well, this is a pivot point for him, right? Because he's starting to get to that age.
Yeah, and it, well, it's an interesting casting because when you see 50. Sully in the game, I think Sean Connery. Mm-hmm. I think of that mentor, that wise mid-aged – you know, guy that's been through it and can, you know, tussle and get in a fist fight. And that part I see with Wahlberg, but everything you're saying, Ben, and you guys, it's like he doesn't feel like the Sully I know from the game. But Variety's report is saying the reason why he's in this is a big part of it was he's been involved with this project and wanted to be in this project for so long that when this new iteration comes with Travis Knight, who directed Bumblebee, is doing this, he told him, I want to be a part of this. So here he is as Sully.
All right. Well, I guess I'll go see it. Yeah, that's how I feel about this. Honestly, I love Wahlberg, but this movie is – I think it's climbing an uphill battle right now.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes, though. Riley, let's do one more news story before we take some calls.
Okay.
I'd love to hear how people are feeling at home about this.
Right. Well, we have a new project from Spike Lee, and he's going to direct Prince of Cats, which is a hip-hop take on Romeo and Juliet, which immediately I perk up and go, Spike Lee – which one of his best movies in the past 10 years was BlacKkKlansman for me. Mm-hmm.
I love that movie. That movie as well.
That movie is incredible. This sounds really, really interesting to me.
You know, I was driving here in the car thinking, hell yeah. And then I got
– were you?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
My hand feels great.
My hand feels awesome. I love Romeo and Juliet. Then I got here and it seemed like – most people in the office did not want to see another Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
And I was kind of surprised by this because it is a Spike Lee movie. I think that this is a whole different take. I don't know exactly what a hip-hop Romeo and Juliet means. I don't know what that looks like.
I can tell you it's based on a graphic novel written by Ron Wimberly, and the film will be set in the 1980s hip-hop scene and tell the classic star-crossed love story. Perspective of Juliet's angry cousin Tybalt, whose underground sword fights with the rival Montague clan and the People's Republic of Brooklyn. Sorry, whitest guy ever can say this here. Republic of Brooklyn blossoms into a vibrant world fueled by music and dance.
But wait,
sounds
just
like
to be
Baz Luhrmann's.
Is this a musical or music and dance is happening? Like, are they hip hop people or is hip hop happening? In the back, like this is a hip hop.
And it's based on a graphic novel, so your guess is as good as mine. Because we're not getting an accompanying like soundtrack with this graphic novel, so maybe they're going to create new music for it. Maybe they're going to lean into that. I don't know.
Well, here's the thing that I like is that it. And correct me if I'm wrong, but when reading the article, it was saying that it's going to be more about Tybalt and less about Romeo and Juliet. And I think if it's more about Tybalt and Mercutio, that is a way cooler story.
That's cool.
Those guys are always – they've always been the most entertaining part of Romeo and Juliet since the first time I ever read the play.
Why do you think that?
They're just awesome. Like even when you saw the Baz Luhrmann version, it was like – it was Leguizamo and
God, who played Mercutio?
I don't know.
He was – I can't remember his name. He's on like Lost, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
but
Harold Pinneroo.
Thank you.
Yeah. I just find them to be more interesting than Romeo and Juliet. And I get their story is kind of like, you know, Romeo and Juliet's. We all know it. But Tybalt and Mercutio, there's so much more room to be bigger, more interesting characters. And especially they're also kind of mischievous and they like crime. They like violence. I think they're just – they've just always been more interesting. So if Spike Lee focuses on them and he's hitting it the way that he did with BlacKkKlansman, this could be amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's Bernardo and Riff, right, from West Side Story. Mm-hmm. That's like those are the interesting characters for me as well. So I love the idea that it's going to be from Tybalt's point of view.
What do you think, Ben?
The last adaptation from play that was turned
into
a musical directed by Spike Lee in the last 5 years – is an unwatchable movie called Chi-Rock.
Chi-Rock, yeah.
And it's horrible. And it's
except for the part that Jay Washington is in, and that's amazing.
I love Jay, and you know, Jay and I have talked about this, but if you watch that movie, that's a hard movie to get through. And it's taking a lot of creative liberties that are kind of the ones that are described here. When Spike sticks to stories that are a little bit more like, I'm making a movie with – I'm taking some interesting creative liberties, but this is a movie with a plot and a through line. I'm not doing anything crazy. Those movies, like Inside Man or like BlacKkKlansman, those movies work really well. If you go back to his older stuff when he's pushing the envelope in the late 80s and the early 90s, it's a bit of a different time.
Yeah.
But even like He Got Game is like a very, very simple – that's a simple down-the-middle story. I hope this works. If this is anything like Chirac, this might faceplant. Like, yeah. And as a follow-up to Black Klansman, that's like – I hope that it doesn't faceplant. I want this guy to be a real legitimate threat every year.
Do you think the outline and the story of RNJ will keep it on the tracks though?
I mean, it's certainly a better story than – I'm trying to think of what the famous story that Chirac was based on. It's like Apollonia. I can't think of the name of it.
I didn't see the movie.
I don't either.
And that's a much lighter story.
Except for Jay's part.
Yeah. but I mean, I'm hopeful. I like Spike. He's awesome. He's creative. He's also like in any of the times I've ever been around him, he's always like really, really wonderful and great and excited about his movies. So I want them to succeed because there's no part of me that wants his movies to fail.
I don't think anybody wants anybody's movies to fail unless they're a big dickhead. You know,
which he's not. So
I agree with that, but I'm interested with this. I think that especially when you have a project, because that was not a financially beneficial project for him, and it was not critically well received. I think he's got a lot to prove on this one. He probably feels not as a director, he doesn't have a lot to prove in general, but for this type of movie. And I think that sometimes you can really turn the notion around that you're not good at this type of work.
Agreed.
And that would be really cool to watch. Riley, before we do take calls, I did want to make sure we hit this DC Marvel rivalries story because this is a wild one.
Yeah. The Russo brothers are going into the well, going to do a docuseries that's the big – and this is not just Marvel DC in the movies. This is like – in comics and everything. Quibbly is doing – is it Quibbly?
Quibby.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why I keep saying
so
Quibbly.
So it stands for – Quibby, for anybody who doesn't know, Quibby is Quick Bites. Quibby.
Right.
And this is a platform that's going to have 8-minute or less content on it that massive creators and stars are coming
to. It's huge.
Tom Cruise,
Les Grossman thing is going to be on Quibby, right? The short form series of him as the agent from Tropic Thunder. I'm pretty sure
that's happening.
I think it's on Quibby.
Holy crap.
They keep doing things like that, so that sounds probably like that exactly what it is. But this is every day I wake up to like massive people on Quibby, a platform that I know nothing about.
Yep.
That, again, going to my grandmother and my sister, they definitely never heard of. That we talk about this every day, and you don't know whether it's Quibby or Quibbly.
Exactly.
Because what the hell is this?
I just know they have a lot of money that they're throwing at people because I've been hearing slowly but surely these projects coming that they're throwing this money, like, could get a lot of IP. Here's one of the big ones now.
And this is – when I first saw this, I was like – Quibi's doing a Marvel versus DC characters thing? What? How did they get the rights to that? That's not what it is. It's a docuseries.
Documentary. It's titled Slugfest, which tracks the decades-long feud between Marvel and DC Comics and is inspired by Reed Tucker's book Slugfest, Inside the Epic 50-Year Battle Between Marvel and DC.
So if this is a docuseries, we're going to be able to watch it 8 minutes at a time?
Mm-hmm. Probably, yeah.
So is that going to take us months?
I don't know. There's no release. It doesn't say anything about a release, release date, release windows, whatever it may be.
Drew, what do you want to see from this? What would be ideal for you?
I mean, I think Quibi is a really cool idea. I think it really is. I actually sat down with someone, a writer, talking to me about a series that he's writing for Quibi, and it's just an interesting, more palatable, digestible way for us to tell these longer stories in very short increments. And I think that this is awesome. I love this. I want to get like a Steve Jobs feel type behind this show and see the battle, because the battle's been so heavily in the favor of both of them in certain periods, right? Like it felt like DC really had it for a really long time, and now it's just the age of Marvel. So to see these guys that tell stories so beautifully, it'll be interesting to see them tell their own story because we haven't seen it in so long. They've just been wrapped up in the MCU. I think they're great storytellers though, and I think that this could be pretty awesome. And if it's just 8 minutes at a time, those scenes, every scene is going to be like Spielberg level making Jurassic Park, where there's not a second wasted ever. It's just always like nonstop, top of the line entertainment.
Does it change for you if this is a paywall service? I don't know if it is, but if it...
I can't remember if it is or not.
I just looked it up. It says it's $5 monthly with ads and $8 without ads.
Yeah, that's the same thing we were talking about before.
This won't get me. This won't get me. Yeah. It'll get me if I can watch it for free. Because like I was waiting for you, like, what do you want to see? And it's like, I would love to see the history of the comics, the sales. If Marvel came out and DC did something to counteract, I want to see the comics and the history of the comics. This, though, it's like, okay, that's like $8 or $5, however much, just add to the pile. What do we get? The Les Grossman thing, that might get me.
Right, stuff like that. I think I agree with you. If it's a quick docuseries, tell me the difference truly in what I'm going to learn and how enjoyable it's going to be between this and some YouTube creator who's been at it for years doing a really good 8-minute story of Marvel versus DC in a YouTube video that's free that pops up on my phone that I'll learn afterwards and be like, that was great. I don't know if I need to pay just because
– I have to assume interviews. I think that's what
they and also production value, like millions and millions of dollars.
It'll definitely be better. There's no question.
Production value for sure, but I don't know if I care as much about that as a consumer when I'm trying to figure out what it is. But if they've got interviews with some of the most massive creators that you haven't heard from
– yeah.
I think that that's pretty interesting. I honestly feel like they might have my money because I look at this as – and I'm sorry. This is – I'm just going to say it for what it is – as bathroom content. Mm. Like I look at this as these quick bites that I'm walking to my car. I watch one video. I'm sitting and I'm peeing. I'm watching one video. I'm going from here at our 4-minute break. I'm watching one video. Like I look at this as such a great way to consume things because I am a millennial. I can't help the fact that I like short content. So I think that this might have me because of all the stars that are going there. Yeah. What? Why wouldn't I want to watch 8 minutes of a Tom Cruise, whatever it is?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like I think that the price point's a little too high considering $8 is more expensive than Disney Plus.
Yeah, I agree.
Which is wild that that's what they picked, but. I don't know. I might go for this.
If you get stars, it'll work. I agree. If there's enough star power. I mean, even that variety, it's like actor on actor series that's out right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last night I turned on Brad Pitt and Adam Sandler talking. And,
that's so cool.
And for 45 minutes, I couldn't turn away because it was just like just these guys talking to each other about like I like what you do and tell me about this. And I worked with this director and it was 97 and this is a movie, Anthony Hopkins. It was like, this is so fascinating. Hmm. If you get people of that level and you make me an 8-minute piece of content – I'll watch it.
Right.
Like, truth be told.
But you won't know if you can watch it unless you pay for it.
True.
Right.
So they have to do probably a month or maybe even 2 months for free for people, and then they might hook them.
And I wonder if they're going to go into Marvel versus DC in the films. Like, because this sounds like it's more comics.
Yeah, I think
And I love that. I want that. But wouldn't it be interesting to see – wouldn't it be great like a Brad Pitt, Adam Sandler, but it's like, I don't know, Chris Evans and Jason Momoa talking about – like Marvel, DC.
Totally. I feel that, but I wonder if the Russo brothers are the right people to make that movie.
Right, because you're automatically going to get, it's going to be like
Marvel.
Geared to Marvel, biased.
We're already going to get that going back with the comics.
I'm sure it's already happening now when we just haven't seen it.
Well, how do you feel about Martin Scorsese doing a Marvel versus DC docu-series?
Take my money right now.
That would be unreal. I think you're halfway kidding, but I also would like lose it because he's so good at that
Francis Ford Coppola appears 3 times.
You know what? I mean, I think for people to shut up about this whole thing, this Martin Scorsese Marvel thing, if he said, you know what, I'm going to dig in then. Mm-hmm. I'm going to find out how much if I will like Marvel, if I will like these comic book movies, I'm going to do a documentary about all of this. I think people would lose their mind.
What if it was a contest? I'm going to direct for either Marvel or DC, so I'm going to do a docuseries to find out which one I like more.
Wow.
Talk about must-see TV. Are you kidding me? I love that.
I pitched something epic. Yeah. Let's open up the phone lines, Cody, see what they are thinking about any of these news stories between Disney Plus, the Russo brothers, Mark Wahlberg, or also any action industries related stuff for Ben and Drew.
Yeah,
call
boys.
In. I still, to this day, I tried to call in. I tried to call in when I was gone.
Okay.
I can't get into our show.
I know.
So many people from the Army always say they get in. Like one guy was telling me, he's like, every single time I've called, I've gotten through. I've called 6 times, I've gotten on 6 times.
Jeremiah, right? I'll bet you Jeremiah gets
through.
They
have like tricks. I don't know what they are. I can't get through to our show.
Well, there's people. You know,
I should have texted Cody and been like, I would like to call in now. But I was like, let me see if I
the way
can
to go.
Do this.
But it's fun that you tried.
I'm always trying.
Put up your mitts.
Maybe let's go with the goofy soundbite, Cody, when we have a caller today. Yeah. It could just be Drew. Cody, let us know when somebody is on the line. But yeah, I think that this Marvel versus DC thing might be a big draw for people because especially the way it is shorter like that, comic book fans can really enjoy that kind of quick content.
Hello?
Oh, my God. You're on Collider Live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Oh my god, I actually got through. This is going to be ironic, guys. I think the action guys kind of know my name. I'm Yash.
Oh, Yash! We do know you.
I'm the fucking asshole who keeps messaging like a retard sometimes.
He has very, very
I love that word.
Aggressively...
Yeah, sorry. I'm a little...
It's okay, Yash. You're nervous.
Oh
you're
my
on
god,
air.
I was just watching you talk about not getting in, and I actually got in. This is kind of ironic.
I was just going to say, if you heard what they said literally before you called.
Wait, Drew, you know him
yeah,
from what?
Yeah, I'm seeing it. It's kind of delayed right now, yeah.
So Yash is he's a fan of our shows. He's a fan of AMA. He's a fan of the Action Guys. But he has very aggressive ways of either paying compliments or giving his opinions, and it's actually become a little endearing, honestly, over the years.
You fucking morons are great.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All right, Yash, what are you calling about? Love to take your question.
Oh, shit. Well, now I'm kind of a little confused on what to ask. You know what? It's so weird, but I just wanted to kind of tell you guys that I'm a big fan. Like, sometimes I definitely watch this stuff when I'm working. Like, on the side, I'll have it open, and I'll be, like, you know, listening to you guys and stuff.
Dope. Thank you.
Thanks, Yash. I appreciate that.
But,
that seemed like a normal compliment.
In all honesty, though... Shit, I don't even know what I'm trying to ask.
Well, thank you so much for calling. We just appreciate your support, and as aggressive as your compliments are, we'll take them.
You sound
they still feel good,
so keep talking trash.
Thanks
for the support.
Yash. Call back in if you figure out what you want to talk to us about. Cody will take another call
and
whenever
he'll get
you
in,
got
I'm
one.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm
yeah,
telling
maybe
you.
Action Army.
He figured
like
out the
it.
Secret.
It's what is it? Tell me, Yash.
Maybe you should. Okay, all right, here we go.
Collider
it's
Live.
Just him again.
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
He said yes.
Collider Live?
Yep, they hung up.
Cody, was scared. It something I said? Yeah, maybe.
That was the first time caller, I think. I
no.
Hold on. All right, here we go.
Oh, my God. Collider Live, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Doug from Pittsburgh.
Hey, Doug.
Oh, Doug. Pittsburgh. Man, Makuga's going to be so upset he missed this one.
He didn't miss it.
Oh, no.
He
felt
it in his soul.
I called in when he had his last day.
That's right.
Well, thank you for calling back in, Doug. Actually, Josh Makuga was texting me this morning, checking in on the show, which is
nice.
Very, very sweet. But what do you got for us today, Doug?
All right. Well, two things. One, on the positive side, I'm very happy for Dave Filoni, a guy I grew up with. He's having all the success. Very awesome.
Mm.
And then something for Ben. I heard him comment about Motherless Brooklyn.
Mm.
He didn't love it.
It's so funny that you asked.
I'm wondering, is it maybe because it should have been more of a Netflix movie?
Mm. Doug, thank you so much for calling. Ben, thoughts on that?
My literal comment was that when movies come out that I'm not the biggest fan of, unless I'm being paid to do the review, I try to actually not review them because I don't like talking smack about movies, especially unique projects like this, which is basically a private eye with effectively Tourette's. And I think the issue with that movie is that if you read that in a book, which it's based on, that's really compelling and interesting because he's a quirky character who's different. He's off the norm. If you try to put that in a movie, it interrupts every single scene's tension by needing to have that character be truthful to the character, which is really difficult to watch for 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And it starts to feel unintentionally comedic. There's a lot about that movie that could have been shaved down, and it's a little bit of a problem that it's Ed Norton directing and starring in that role because I don't think he's editing himself very well.
So what's up? Ed Norton has Tourette's in the role?
It's basically he's the lead, and so –
Why do you keep saying basically and essentially?
They never call it Tourette's.
Okay. It's because I think when the movie came out, or at least the time that it's set in, I don't know if Tourette's existed. So they don't know what to call it. He just keeps saying there's something wrong with my head.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. So it's worth watching. It's not an unwatchable movie. It's just that it doesn't execute in the way that I think people wanted it to.
So, for me. So you think people should go see it because they might have a different opinion or it's not?
It's a tough movie to watch. If you're a fan of the creators involved, this is a total like Netflix, watch it on an airplane movie. If you want to spend $4, that's on home video, fine. But I wouldn't pay it to see it in the theater. It's long.
I still want to go. There's something about what you're saying that's intriguing me.
That's
so
fair.
So you think that we should go see again? you're saying yes to go spend our money on it?
Rent it. $4. Amazon. Not 14.
So I should go to the theater? I just want the answer to change. That's
how
I
get
it to happen. All right. Cody, let us know when you have another goofy for us. Collider Live. What's your name? Where are you calling from? That sound is freaking me out.
Paul Denuzio.
Denuzio!
Yeah!
Paulie D.
Perfect call, Paul. Thanks so much for calling in. Paul, when's the last time you called in to Collider Live?
I had never got into Collider Live. This is the first time I've gotten in.
See, it's not that hard, guys.
What the hell?
It is that hard, Cody. Here,
actually, I'll just give out Cody's number on air right now.
great call.
Cody gave you his number?
Paul, what are you calling about today? You just want to talk to the action guys?
Well, I had a friend here that wanted to talk to Ben.
What?
So can I put him on the phone?
Uh-oh. Yeah, hell yeah.
Uh-oh, I know where this is going.
Who is it?
Bateman.
It's Kim.
You thought you could get away from me, from this robot. But you can't. I will continue to hunt you down forever and ever and ever and ever. Long and long and long and long and long. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong.
What in God's name?
Sorry, I thought she was going to be nice. I thought she was going to be nice, but she wasn't.
That's
Paul, thank you so much. Paul, really appreciate you calling in. You're a rock star as always.
Did you have words with it like Ellis?
I didn't have words with it. It's just that the schlong is the favorite word by the schmoba, and it got interrupted me a lot of times.
So for anybody who doesn't know, because that was probably confusing as hell for a lot of people.
I don't think I know.
Christian Harloff over at SEN, freaking love you, Christian, does this thing with a robot.
It's a robot voice where if you donate through Streamlabs, you end up getting a message read on air by this robot voice that sounds like this. And if you like write TTTTTTT, the robot will be like and people like.
But why is the robot shitting on you?
I went on SEN and a lot of Action Army fans jumped in and decided to troll me on the show. It happened like 12 times or something. Oh. So
you guys have the most wild fan base.
Christian is going to lean into that, A. Yeah. So I'm not surprised.
Yeah, that's true. But I love that you guys are as attached with your fans as you are.
We have to call them the Army because they are truly an Army.
Yeah, and they're badass.
And we got to just give the big shout to the guy who just called in, Paul DeNuzio, who runs patreon.com/teamaction. That's our patron. He literally is the guy that if you guys interact with messages there, he is the person who's running point. And he's just the hardest working, nicest, best guy and a 5-star general in the Action Army on the Patreon. So, Paul, thank you so much.
You guys have been doing a ton more stuff, too, with first reviews after movies and shows. Yeah. I think you did Mandalorian also.
Yeah, first thoughts. We're doing a lot of that stuff now.
Damn.
Yeah, we're just trying to do more. You know how it is. And like, not a lot of people out there get to go to movie screeners. So we figure we might as well. If we get to do that, we should give them our first thoughts. We didn't do one on Mother's Brooklyn, though, because...
Yeah, unless we have to. I gave Charlie's Angels a good review, though. That movie was sweet.
You didn't want to go see Charlie's Angels.
I was very skeptical.
God, yeah, I've heard mixed things, actually.
Ben loved it. It was good.
Did you see it?
No, but he called me as soon as he left. He was like, I had a great time. It was just the best.
Such a big Charlie's Angels fan. I can't believe I missed that screening. Ugh. Life is so hard, guys. Cody, let us know when we have another call.
Gosh.
Oh, my God. You're on Collider Live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Jeff from Kentucky.
Hey, welcome from Kentucky. What's going on? What do you want to talk about today?
First off, just say congratulations, guys. You guys are doing an amazing job. Roxy, you're killing it.
Really appreciate that, man. Thank you. Really appreciate it.
And Riley, I believe you and I, we might be the only Man of Steel fans on the planet.
Yeah, right, man.
We like it. We're fans.
We got some fans here.
This
it's
isn't
just,
about you, Ben.
Yeah. It's just Warner Brothers doesn't seem to be a fan of Superman. Let's just say that.
That's not what's happening. The movie was not a good one. Sorry. I still appreciate your compliment, though. What's going on? What do you want to talk about today?
Yeah, so I got a question. So with the failure of Terminator, I don't even remember what it's called. What it's called?
Dark Fate.
Dark Fate. Yeah.
Yep.
Bummer.
What are your thoughts on with these reboots? Like, well, not necessarily reboots, but sequels. Like, I'm actually pretty excited to see this new Top Gun that's coming out next year.
Can't wait.
What are your thoughts on that? I mean, do you think it's going to do pretty well once it's released?
Thank you so much for your call. Let's talk about it because it seems to be happening more and more with Terminator Dark Fate, which I actually thought was a great movie, but not financially succeeding the way that they wanted to.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that people are just getting sick of not original content? Do you think that that's specific to the movie?
I think it's specific to the Terminator franchise because we've had so many movies that audiences have gone to and said, great, oh, it sucks. Mm-hmm. Great, oh, it sucks. Great, oh, it sucks. That was three. And Rise of the Machines, Salvation, and Jenny Smith. So now I will not call it that other thing.
You won't?
No, because I can't even spell it. So
they couldn't either.
Yeah, no, they couldn't. And so we finally get a good one. And by now it's like fool me once, fool me twice, fool me three times, shame on. Like it's not – they're not going. But Top Gun I think is going to be different because we haven't had 18 sequels. It's the first sequel and it's Tom Cruise – and it's, you know, he's riding high on Mission Impossible. And I think Top Gun is very, very recognizable in the Everybody knows Top Gun, right?
Yeah.
So people are going to go see a Top Gun sequel.
Well, we are with the action guys, and they seem to think that Tom Cruise is their mascot. Yeah. So thoughts on Top Gun?
We're actually Tom Cruise's mascot. Yeah. No. You want to go first?
No, go for it.
Imagine being Tom Cruise's mascot.
That would be so sick.
Like you're a stuffed animal in his apartment?
I mean,
it's an apartment. Yeah.
It could be one
bedroom.
How poor am I?
It also could be weird, you know?
Yeah. It's weird. You say everyone cares about Top Gun, but do they? Does this generation?
I think everybody's heard of Top Gun.
Right.
Whether they care or not,
so that's
remains to be seen.
What I think is really interesting is because Arnold and Terminator have been – we've been reminded of it over and over.
He's kind of synonymous for the role.
Even in a bad way, we've been reminded with the last three films. But the thing is that like I was born in 88 and I have a show that talks about action movies and I barely care about Top Gun, period, the original one.
Yeah.
So I care even less about the sequel. But I'm going to see it because I love Kilmer, I love Harris, and I love Cruise.
Yeah.
But the younger generation, the people that are anywhere from the age of, let's say, because I'm pretty sure it's going to be PG-13. So let's say the age of 13 to 30. How many people in there have seen Top Gun and how many of them actually care about it?
Cody, that's us. Cody, seen Top Gun and care about it?
I have seen it. I don't really care about the sequel too much.
Okay. Same.
Yeah. Right? So I think that's the big problem because the same people
– out of the show.
I think that don't forget your walker.
Yeah.
I don't not care to the point that it makes me angry. I'm not like, this is a horrible idea. I just don't have a preference.
Right.
I think that if the question that's being asked is sequels, these reboots in general, and do we think Top Gun will do well, and why did Terminator fail effectively, like what's the difference? I think you can look at a couple things, but the hardest one to quantify is that as you get closer and closer to release on these things, it has everything to do with just sort of the atmosphere talking about the project. And I think like when you talk about Dr. Sleep, I mean, we were excited about Dr. Sleep. I saw a couple first thoughts reviews and lukewarm thoughts about the movie about a week before my screening. I got sick, decided to skip it because I heard it was mediocre, and now I'm hearing it's pretty good. But a lot of people, I think, saw similar things on Twitter and on Facebook of people just like, yeah, it was X or Y, maybe even unqualified opinions, people who aren't like critics, people who just somehow got to see a preview screening.
Yeah.
And that affected mine. I didn't see it or review the movie now for the same reason. So I do think that there's some truth to the idea that like it's really hard to control these things.
I feel like I got fucked by that too because this guy across the table from me came in with less than favorable Dr. Sleep.
Just the ending. The ending.
Yeah, when I said, should I go see this, you were like, And usually you're like Mr. Hype. And you love everything about – I mean you love
Stephen
so
King
many,
is my jam. The book is my jam.
So I was concerned. Now I'm hearing really good things.
It's warmed on me since because it's one of those movies where the ending really kind of – I'll say it made me mad because two-thirds of that movie for me were the book, which I love, which is batshit insane. I mean it really is. On paper – this thing, I mean, it's about true knot, like vampires sucking your soul. That sounds weird. And it is weird. And I loved
it. There's Dorina when we need her.
I know. And then when it gets to the ending, I don't want to spoil it or anything, that's where I felt like it fell apart for me. But then it stuck with me. And I want to see it again because I'm like, I don't know. There's something that's been bouncing around in my head over it. So, but it's a great point because is it The Shining – IP and the fact that people didn't know it was a Shining sequel because it's called Dr. Sleep? Is it we're over Stephen King because it chapter two, it was all this stuff and we just want something better? Was it Ewan McGregor's not A-list? Are we going to that conversation? Mm-hmm. Is it different than
– Well, I'll give you one just quick example because this is something I've noticed. So all right, Independence Day Resurgence, Men in Black the reboot. Mm. Neither of those needed to happen. Everybody talking about those projects leading up to those projects releasing knew those didn't need to happen. The closest thing you got to something interesting reinventing one of those projects was Tessa Thompson being one of the leads in Men in Black. But even that isn't really enough to get people to care about something, a franchise that's kind of dead. Now, take Charlie's Angels for instance, which is not a movie that I think most people think should happen. I think we definitely were in the camp when we saw the posters of like, this is too soon. I don't necessarily care about this cast.
I cared so much.
But it's a successful actress directing a group of women being kick-ass. And that's a formula that's going to work because there are a lot of people that want to see more movies like that. So even though it's a franchise and even though it's a piece of IP that people kind of right now, I think the general consensus is like maybe too soon, even if that movie is middling and just makes okay money, they will make a sequel because the quality's high and it's a group of women leading the movie.
I don't disagree with that. However, take Transformers now, for example. I don't think anybody thought that Bumblebee needed to happen.
Right.
I guess some people, but people were really soured on Transformers. And the movie was excellent.
It's great.
But it didn't do as well as it should have done.
Just like Terminator.
Based off of how good it was. It's movies. The exact same way I feel about Terminator because I happen to love Terminator.
I love Dark Fate.
Charlie's Angels might have that exact same thing. Now, I think for something like Top Gun, I doubt they're going for a Top Gun 3, 4, 5 more movies. I think that's what Transformers is doing, probably what Charlie's Angels is doing. I don't think that's what Top Gun's doing. So they don't have that first time to be okay. And then the next times, hopefully, they'll grow from there.
The approval rating on Tom Cruise is pretty high, though. Like the idea of what he's done with the Mission Impossible movies and how he's sort of viewed right now by just the general movie-going public is evidenced by the way those movies succeed because they're just Tom Cruise movies. I think Top Gun 2 will do well just based on the fact that it's him flying an airplane, being Tom Cruise. I think it'll have that, right? His approval rating's real high.
Yeah, look at it on paper. He's standing next to a fighter jet. That's just perfect marketing. Top Gun aside, I know maybe you guys don't care about it because it didn't hit you in the nostalgia feels like it hit me because I grew up with that movie. But I think when you just look at a poster with Tom Cruise next to a fighter jet and you think Mission Impossible, there's something in that I think could work.
Cody, let's see if we have another call on the line with that goofy voice I'm so nervous about. Yeah, I knew it was coming. Caller, you're on Glider Live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello.
Hi. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Ed. This is my fifth time calling the show.
Wow. What is your trick to getting in? Who are you bribing?
Technically, this is fourth. I did call on Tuesday, and I was on the line. I heard you guys, well, the arena was hosting. But unfortunately, because Hector, is a motor mouth, couldn't stop talking, and then soon as he starts stopped talking, the show's over.
Damn you, Hector Navarro, and your motor mouth.
Navarro.
Well, what do you got for us today? We won't motor mouth through you.
Okay. I guess you guys didn't talk about The Rock has announced Black Adam.
Yep.
December 22, and he shows the first look of himself as Black Adam on Instagram. Do you guys see that?
Yeah, I saw the picture. Looked awesome.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it. Thank you so much for calling in. Black Adam, a movie that was The Rock has been attached to being the character for years now, since DC had their initial slate.
Right.
And then when Black Adam was not going to appear in Shazam, we knew that was getting pushed. But a lot of people in the DC community have thought that this was a swerve for a really long time until The Rock said, we're actually going to go into production. And now we're seeing an image and they're talking more seriously about this film. Do you guys care at all about this movie? Are you excited for this movie?
Well, it's been officially dated as of now. So we are getting it December 22nd, 2021.
Yeah, DC has never changed a date before.
No, it always been that date?
No.
I see what you mean.
But I think that 2021 actually sounds like that might happen.
So it's 2 years. I mean, they just have to go to production. They'll go into production sometime next year.
And I think they said they're going to production in May or something like that.
Yeah. You don't waste The Rock's time. He's a very busy man. I love it. I think it's really cool. I saw his whole Instagram post, and one thing that I thought was interesting, at least I read the first half of it. I was driving while I was reading it, so that's probably why.
Drew.
I know. But I don't believe in the first half.
Oh my God.
What?
Where did that come from?
That's if I was dating Fran Drescher.
And oh my God, that was such a compliment for me. I love Fran.
He talks about how him as an individual could not play Superman. That was his hero growing up. He's like, I'm too crash. I'm too much of a rebel. Or I can't remember exactly the verbiage he uses. But he doesn't actually talk about race at all. But I think what the coolest thing about this is so many of us grew up wanting to be Batman and Superman, and so many of us realized we couldn't, right? Like, it just wouldn't happen. I mean, even with Romeo and Juliet, if we want to talk about that, in college I couldn't play a lead because everyone was white. So I couldn't be in anyone's family. I couldn't be Montagues or Capulets because I'm brown, right?
Wow.
So you think about this, and finally we're getting superheroes of color. And Black Adam's a different superhero anyway. And The Rock talked about how Superman was too much of like a pristine individual to play. But also you talk about – I don't know anything about Black Adam, but – I like what The Rock's saying about it. I like that it's a brown superhero. I like those.
You know what's interesting about that, though? Just really quick on being of a different color, because in the comics, they're actually supposed to look very similar. Shazam and Black Adam. So,
really?
Yeah. They make reference to it a couple of different times, how they look like counterparts to each other. But actually in the design, I didn't think that they looked much alike. But there was a couple of times in New 52 they referenced it. And clearly they were like, we don't need that.
Right.
Why does that matter to this? So that's interesting. And I think that probably, like you're saying, the thing that he didn't want to say about Superman had to do with color, which is a crazy thing because that character doesn't need to be white at all.
For any reason.
Right.
He's an alien.
For any reason. And I do think it's only a matter of time, especially because Henry Cavill will not be continuing in DC. I doubt that we do get a person of color as Superman because it's the easiest massive role to make somebody who is not white.
I mean, Idris Elba proclaimed himself Black Superman in Hobbs and Shaw.
So yeah, but he actually – everybody was talking about him playing Batman. Which race is a little more tied to his character, but still he could be a –
Yeah, you could remember.
Yeah, absolutely. Easily. But Superman, that's a bummer that he grew up thinking that he couldn't be Superman because why the fuck not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He doesn't even come from there.
That's fair. Agreed. That's very fair.
Yeah, we talked about it. I said Michael B. Jordan would be fantastic as Superman.
Yeah,
I agree with that. Yeah. I agree with that. What was the other part of the news, Riley, that you looked like you were going to read?
Oh, yeah, no. Just off of your point, here's his Instagram post about that, is that as a kid, Superman was the hero I always wanted to be, but a few years into my fantasy, I realized that Superman was the hero I could never be. I was too rebellious, too rambunctious, too resistant to convention and authority. Despite my troubles, I was still a good kid with a good heart. So he basically goes on to say that's why Black Adam is perfect for me. Well, it's his own personality, which I love. He's kind of tying into where he came from, his race, all this kind of stuff.
Starting the campaign now, though, for Drew to be a superhero of some sort.
Please give me in there. Oh,
yeah. It would be awesome. We do have to cut to break because we are going to bring Alan Richson in here. But, Drew, I know that you're not coming back with us after break, so where can everybody keep up with you in the meantime?
You guys can find everything I do online at Andrew Guy. Check out patreon.com/teamaction. And we do a show here at Collider as well. It's called The Action Guys. It goes up every weekend now. We just went back on video.
Yeah.
And I think it's actually because of you guys.
Yeah, it's because
of you guys. So
it's on this channel, right?
Yeah. So we're on this channel. Check out The Action Guys. Check out Action Movie Anatomy. And thank you guys so much for having me. This was a blast.
Loved having you,
dude.
Thank you for coming, dude.
Don't go anywhere, though, guys, because we will be right back with Alan Richson. Hey guys, it's Perry here to let you know that Movie Talk is moving. We've had a great time in this 3 p.m. Pacific slot, but guess what? We want you to start your day with Collider Movie Talk, so we're moving. 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to get a longer show with some brand new segments, so tune in starting Monday, September 16th, 9 a.m. Pacific. See you there.
Hey everyone, John Rocha here, the host of Collider Sports Time. Well, you know, if you've been watching us every week, you know we break down the latest and the greatest
and
in the world
that
of
ass.
Sports. Talk about the big issues,
and I'm beat
the
that
big
ass.
Games, all of it with a rotating band of guests like Matt Nose and Josh McCullough.
Hey everyone, this is John Rocha. John Rocha. John Rocha.
Now, if you want to see more of Sports Time or you want to try it out for the first time, remember to subscribe to Collider Sports YouTube channel for all the sports goodness.
Okay.
Hey guys, it's Riley here. Let me tell you about the Riley Roundtable. You know it, right? It drops every Thursday on Collider Conversations. And I have guests from all across the space. John Rocha, Gray Drake, Alexander Desplat came on at one point. We talk everything from movies, we talk about life, and everything in between. What do you want to hear? What do you want to talk about? It's the Riley Roundtable every Thursday on Collider Conversations.
Get it there.
Hi, I'm Koi Jandro, host of Collider Heroes, and I'm here to tell you we've got 20-minute episodes coming at you on Collider Video, on the YouTube, as you've always loved it. Plus, now we've got hour-long podcasts dropping every Thursday, so make sure to subscribe to the podcast, because it's going to get even more sweaty on the podcast. Plus, every week, we're going to try to get some very special guest interviews, all of the people that help shape these movies and TV shows you love. So, video, podcast, interviews all coming at you. Be sure to subscribe. Thanks so much, guys. Stay sweaty.
I love What's movies. Up, Collider fans? Ryan Satin here from ProWrestlingSheet.com, where you can find the top stories throughout the week in the world of professional wrestling. If you're a wrestling fan like myself, then you'd be doing yourself a disservice by not checking out all the shows we do every week on YouTube.com/C/WrestlingSheet. In particular, on Wednesdays, we've got a SmackDown recap show hosted by John Rocha and myself, where we pick apart and talk about every little thing that happened on the Blue Brand. So do yourself a favor and go subscribe at youtube.com/C/WrestlingSheet.
Hey guys, Riley here, and let me tell you about Rule of Two. You looking for a Star Wars fix? Well, Rule of Two is that show. It drops on Collider Video's main YouTube channel, as well as on Podcast One's Jedi Council feed. So go over there, subscribe, share it with your friends. It's hosted by myself and Mark Fernandez. We talk everything in the Star Wars universe with a lot of deep dives and a lot of conversations that go all in. You know what to do. Subscribe, join us there, and rise.
Hey everyone, John Rocha here, the host of Collider Mailbag. A new episode drops every Saturday and Sunday in your face and in your ears, answering the questions from you fans about the world of entertainment, film, and television. Me and great guests from our sphere do the best to answer your questions from Twitter, from Instagram, and of course, email as well, every Saturday and Sunday.
Hi, I'm Amy Dallin, one of the hosts of Collider Heroes, and starting right now, you can catch our show Tuesday nights with a new Collider Heroes and a longer Collider Heroes podcast, where Koi and I are going to talk your ears off. You already know that's coming. So make sure to go to YouTube, subscribe, and find us on the Collider Heroes podcast feed for all of that sweaty goodness.
The Witching Hour is all over Collider right now. You can listen to that horror-filled podcast with myself, with Haley Fouch. We talk about witchiness. We talk about slashers. We talk about space horror. You name it, all on that show on the Collider Factory feed. And on top of that, you can find an article all about Witching Hour every single Tuesday on Collider.com. Check it out. Get scared. Hopefully you survive the Witching Hour.
Welcome back to Collider Live. We are here with Alan Richson in studio right now, somebody who has been working for a very long time. And I
Am I that old?
No, it's not. It's not that. It's just the fact
no,
that
I am.
People might not realize how long it's been, because I remember the first time I saw you was in 2004 on American Idol. And then from there, I knew that you were a model, and then you were performing, you were singing, you're doing all these different things. Was that all a means to become an actor one day, or did you not know you wanted to do that? You just wanted to perform for anybody?
It's that. No, that's exactly it. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I had no idea what I wanted to do, so I was like, I'll try this. I'm just an opportunist. I'll try that. I don't know. I'll sing. Man. Like, they seem to respond to that. My buddies are like, you got to try out for American Idol. I was like, okay, I guess. That was my first time out in L.A., and I had never really been around people that were, like, hungry for one thing. I grew up, like, very, you know, very blue-collar, small town. Nobody ever ventured out like this growing up, so I didn't have – there was nothing modeled for me. I was just, like, drifting on the wind and whatever, you know, people, like, well, try this. And then I had some buddies that were like, I can't go, man. I'm going to an audition. I was like, audition? I want to know who got that. How'd you do that? And he was like, "Well, go talk to him. He'll do it. My buddy. He'll send you out on auditions." And I was like, "All right. Like, can I, you know, see if we can make some extra money doing this?" He's like, "All right." But everything I did was like it just kind of worked. So I started, you know, I just ended up acting, but it was like a real job. I was on a show, and
well, because from American Idol, I mean, you then become the first live action Aquaman. Like, that's such a
– it doesn't make any sense.
That jump, looking back, you must be like, what? At the time, maybe you think everybody that happens to, they go audition for some show and then they're on a different show.
Yeah, and it also didn't feel like much to me, because it was like, well, I'm not like the lead of the show. I'm just like, get to go play this one thing, and who knows if it'll turn into more. So it wasn't a big deal to me. It was just like, I guess this is just how it goes. And then, you know, 10 years later, you build up a little, you know, career, and you know, you're the guy, you know. So it was always like, I don't know, people are like, oh, my God, family coming out of the woodwork, like, can I borrow money now that you're a millionaire? I'm like, you know, I took home like $1,500 at the end of the day after taxes on that, right?
Did that really happen to you?
I swear to God.
You had long-lost cousins?
After the very first, pretty much, the very first episode of guest starring on Smallville, I started getting emails from people that I hadn't seen, you know, and I was like, oh, this is how it is. This is what people perceive this business to be, like, you know.
How do you really handle bizarre. That?
I was outraged at first. Like, how dare you, like, come – you know, I haven't talked to you in years, and now you're going to come say – and about this and, like – not. But, you know, I think I was being sensitive and young and emotional. And also, you know, I think there was something in me that was, like, upset because I wasn't. And I felt like I need to live up to these expectations. So then there was this pressure on me to suddenly become a millionaire overnight because I was like, that's what people think I am all of a sudden. You know, so it's like, I guess I should – I'm not doing it right, you know, if I'm not – It's like, you know, it's like a young kid. I was young, you know, I was a young kid, and it was a lot, you know, I was mad about it.
But is part of you kind of flattered? Like, wow, they've seen me now. I've made it. These people want my money. I'm officially a star.
No, really. For me, I mean, I'm sure for a lot of people that's the reaction where, you know, and I think we see a lot of people living beyond their means today, you know, so I think for most people, they're like, yeah, yeah, okay, good. Like, you know, fits the image, you know? Like, yeah, that is it. But for me, it was too much pressure. I was like, this is not – I'm not even close. I can barely pay my rent, you know? I'm in Encino, you know? You know, I live next to Russians because I'm the only American that can – you know? Like, it was like a very weird – I was like in a crappy building and I don't know. It was I was very fish out of water for a long time and I felt a lot of pressure because of that. So, no, for me it wasn't great.
When you were just getting started, like you booked these first roles and it's starting to happen for you, were you still – because you said you didn't know what you wanted to do. Were you still like, I'll do these other hobbies still, these other things I like doing. I'm not sure if this acting is going to totally take off for me. What other stuff were you doing at the time?
Yeah, I was writing and producing music. So I didn't really want to be the guy – I've always felt instinctively even – as a kid, I was like, if I ever do anything where I might be well known, I got to be careful because I've always felt like fame is a curse. Now more than ever, I still feel like fame is a curse. It's not all it's cracked up to be. It's like there's a party in your honor and you're the only one not invited. You know, it's not. It's tough.
What do you mean by that?
Like everybody's celebrating this idea of you, and you're not there because you're something else. You're not that idea that these people have, and so you're like, I don't know how to facilitate this. I'm not the guy, and also like, I don't know any of you. You're all there, and I'm here, and I'm isolated because you think now you know me, and I don't.
So you feel like they don't know you. They feel like they don't know the true you.
Oh sure, I've disappointed millions of people. I've disappointed a lot. Most people I meet, I disappoint because most people that come up to me are dudes.
Yeah.
Like 18 to 36 demo, we were number one when Blue Mountain State was on, right? Nobody really responded to that demographic until BMS is the way that they did our show. So I suddenly realized like it's not, you know, it's not like the little girls, you know, like some heart. It's like, no, frat guys are like, oh my God. You're like, no, don't sign my underwear. Like, I'm like, what? This is the opposite of the way this is supposed to go.
Right.
But they meet me and I'm like, I'm nothing like this character in real life. And they're really disappointed a lot of times. They're like, come on, man, hey, let's go do some coke. Like, run the Oreo cookie race. And I'm like, I got a wife and kids. And like, I'm sorry, I'm just not – that's not what I do. And like, I thought you were going to be so much cooler in person, man. You suck.
Yeah. Why are you so great at playing that then? Because especially also in this movie, Turkey Bowl, which we saw last night and thought was – just so fun.
Oh, you guys saw it.
It was awesome.
Dude, you were hilarious.
Awesome. Oh, thanks. Hilarious.
But that's very similar to your character in this movie also, where you are a little fratty and you've got that thing
going
on.
There's some similarities. Yeah. I think – I mean, I don't want to give away the secret sauce, you know, but for me it's as simple as having and embracing the inner child. Mm. I mean, I think that especially was just, you know, like an 11-year-old in a college linebacker's body. And that was sort of where I came from with that. And that's a lot of fun because I think we all long and pine for our youth, you know, and the years of innocence. And, you know, so even in the villains, if we find it there, it's something that we pine for in a way, I think. So not to get too heady about it, but
That's fine. That's what we do on the show.
Yeah, oh, good. Okay, well, go there, man.
So I was seven.
get the tissues, Mark.
How do you feel? Can you expand on that, please?
But that's got to be challenging that you feel like people – you're playing these roles a lot and people don't really know you. One of the times that I got to know you best – we've never met in person, so don't worry. I'm not about to say something else.
Okay. Sign my underwear.
No, not that. NBC, I can do that. You did a show. It was a one-season. So that show was a blast. It was a random summer show, and you kind of got to be you a little bit more. Because you've been in all different areas, I was wondering, is that something that you're more interested in doing, like being yourself, hosting, one day doing some kind of competition show and being the person on that?
Yeah, man, if I could have like a late-night talk show and just talk all the time with guests and people, get to know people, I'd be as happy as – I mean, yeah, I'd love that. That was – How long do we have? Because that was a saga for me. I can do
we
that.
We have time right now. Yeah. I need to know more about that because that was the most random show, too.
Right. It was, right?
The cast was – it was
– Joe Jonas, Sierra.
Jeff Dye, who's
Jeff
been
Dye,
on the show.
Nicole Scherzinger, Marlon Wayans was, you know, the host. It was like a really – so that show was as random in my saga as it seemed to you as a viewer, you know, if you watched it.
You had just come off of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I was, you know, I've been doing these movies. So it didn't really fit the profile. And there was actually like a big kerfuffle, word of the day, sponsored by Kerfuffle.
I love it.
It was tough at the time because I didn't know that that was a thing. I didn't know this show was out there. I didn't know that I'd been receiving offers from NBC for this thing, right? So they wanted me really bad because they wanted to fill the slots with like the singer, the comedian, the actor. And they were like – what I was told was that all the executives at NBC were like, who's the actor that could play this guy? And they said that hands down across every single assistant there was like, oh my god, you have to get Alan Ritchson. He's the only guy that can do – you know, like fun person – that he can do this. It's kind of comedy.
Yeah.
This is what I'm told. I'm not saying this about myself. And and so they started coming at us with offers, and my team completely just—I don't know about them. Like they don't say a word, and you know, like not completely throwing them under the bus. They were looking out for my best interest because they were like, "You're a movie star now, right? Like you were in Hunger Games, and then you're like Raphael and Ninja Turtles. You did two of those, and like movies, and like you're not this guy." That's where their head was at without me knowing at the time, right? So it makes sense. But I was frustrated because there were these offers coming in and I didn't know about it. And I get a call from the producer of Ninja Turtles. And he's like, hey, what's up? And I was like, hey, how you doing, man? What's new? So why are you doing this thing for NBC? And I was like, what are you talking about? He was like, they call me, you know, my buddy Chuck LaBelle called and I was like, how do we get this guy? Like, he's impossible to get. And I was like, I have no clue what you're talking about. Why don't you pitch me on whatever this is? And he was like, dude, you should do this, man. He's like, they want to throw a ton of money at you. It's going to be super fun. Put some money away for college and have a good time. It's not going to affect your business. We won't look at you any differently. I was like, okay, I'll call Chuck, I guess, and find out what's going on. I don't know. So I reach out, and he's like, yeah, man, we're about to shoot. And, like, you're the only guy we've been pursuing, but now we're kind of out of time, so we're thinking about going to other people. But for, like, 3-4 weeks, we've been calling, making multiple offers to your team. And I was like, this is the first time hearing of it. So I called them, and I was like, guys, why don't you tell me about this? You can't do that. And they're like, because you're going to say yes, and we don't want you to do it. You're a movie star now. And I was like, I'm not a movie star. And it's 20-whatever it was at the time. Like, there's 400 shows on TV. There's 1,000 movies, and only 8 go to theater. You know, like, what? Like, who cares? Like, let's entertain people. Let me have a good time, too. This looks like so much fun. I loved what the show was about. Let me just – can I – like, let me make that decision for myself. Like, we didn't watch it, too.
Oh, jeez.
So, you know, we ended up doing the show, and I did. I had so much fun. It was, like, so refreshing. And what people don't know – and I can say it now because I'm done with that set of movies, and they've been out, whatever – that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was like the worst production experience I've ever had. It made me hate life so much.
Wow. Yeah, so I wanted to get into that because
I hated life on that show. They were so bad to us, and
really?
They broke so many promises. Like it was rough.
What did they promise you, and what didn't come through?
Like the biggest reason you do it, like I said, no, I didn't want to do it because I was like, I'm gonna waste years of my life, the best years of my career on. Something that nobody's going to know I'm even a part of.
Right.
I don't want to lend myself to that. And they're like, no, This is the whole new live action, one-to-one. You move, they move. You're just as much a part of this as anybody else. So when it comes time to, like, get you out there, you're going to be in every country in the world, premieres all over the place. Like, we're really going to get you out there. They were like, you are as much a part of this as anybody without the mask. You know what I mean? And it was like, all right, well, obviously, like, that always helps, like, getting to know other audiences in other countries internationally. And I had young boys at the time, you know, so yeah. Or a boy at the time. And, you know, and I was like, I really want to do this for them. Like, how fun would that be? So I was like, okay, I'll do it, knowing it's like it's not, it doesn't pay anything and it's going to be hard work and a long time and a lot of commitment.
It didn't pay much?
Yeah, I was surprised by that.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. No. What? No. It was like take it or leave it. Most guys in town said no just because it didn't pay anything.
Really?
I was like, yeah, I guess I'll do it. You know, I'll do it. But I'm doing it more for like to get to – because I don't really have that kind of audience, you know. And I just had a kid and I was like, this is really fun. Okay, I'll do it, you know. And they were promising, like, you know, it's not gonna be like you're just a guy in a mask, you know. So they were like, look at – they pointed to the Lord of the Rings. And they're like, look at what happened to him. Like, he's
Gollum, you mean?
Yeah. Like, he's
look at Andy Serkis.
Like it changed. Like, look at that's what it's doing now for people. You know, you're like,
they pitch you the role on being the next Andy Serkis, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And, wow. And I still have emails that I sent to the president of Paramount because they not only would they refuse to allow us to do any press, to talk to people, we found out after the fact that they were telling people that we were refusing interviews, and it wasn't true. And they didn't invite us to the premiere. We had, like, it was just.
What? Did they not want you to do press because they were worried you were going to say something bad about the production?
No. No, there was nothing bad. I mean, it was a grueling production, and they didn't. It was, like, rough.
Yeah, it's hard work. You guys, like, are. You were in suits, so a version of the suit.
Well, not even that.
Right?
Like, after the. We'd wrap. Like, people don't know this. Like, you think, like. I mean, still, this is what I'm talking about, though. People coming up to you thinking that they know you. They don't know you.
Right.
Like, we. Okay, so we would wrap one day, right? It was a long day. And they don't. They have this. We realized the problem with this, like, animated contract. It was a different kind of deal that we made. It's like never been done before. It's new ground, and so they had all these loopholes. We realized after the fact where they didn't have to pay us for anything extra: meal penalties, lunch, overtime, nothing. So we're this group of four, an island of just ripe for abuse, right?
Mm.
And the crew was wrapping out. We were shooting in Brooklyn one day and had a long ride back to Manhattan where all of us, where everybody was staying. And they wouldn't let us in the cars to go home. So the turtles, they wouldn't let us in the cars to go home.
What do you mean?
They wanted to get the crew out of there to get them off the clock. Because if they stayed, they had to pay them.
Right.
If we stayed, they don't. And the freaking studio that we were shooting in locks the doors because they were like, we're closing up for the night. We got a cleaning crew coming in. Like, it's done. Now it's security here. And so we're in the parking lot sitting on our backpacks. In an empty parking lot because the rest of the crew had driven. Anybody who needed to be shuttled was being shuttled, and they're like, producer said you can't get in yet. So they – like we sat there. I'm calling my team in L.A. like, they won't give us a ride home. What the kind of production is this? Like,
wow.
Get us home. We shot for 14 hours today. I want to go home. Three rides come around because they go back and forth and back and forth,
yeah.
Like bunches of vans. And finally they're like, so we got everything. We guys glowed up, and I'm like – what is this? And, you know, you tell the producers about it. They're like, yeah, okay, well, we're, you know, sorry about that. That's not how it was supposed to go down, you know.
Who was making the call on that, though? If it's not the producers, because you.
Who do you think? The people who write the checks.
Yeah.
So,
which is the producers.
Yeah. So, you know, and I was always very honest about how I felt, you know. And so then coming into the second one, they're like, look, man, we talked about what you gave to us for the first one. And I know there's no press. And, that's, you know, it's like a lot of stuff went wrong. But we're going to make it up to you. We're going to give you some back end on this one and make it up, which we didn't get on the first. So I was like, all right. But I didn't say – I wasn't like, oh, okay, great. I remember sitting there going like, this is all not going to materialize, just like it did this year. And it didn't.
So wow. You didn't end up getting back end on
none of it.
Were you contractually obligated to come back for the second one?
I was contractually obligated to come back for three, and I tried so hard to get off coming back from the second one.
For when, three you were?
Yeah. When did you find out they had killed three? Or have they killed three? They've killed three.
After the numbers came out, like the weekend after two came out.
Yeah.
Did you get a phone call on that or you just figure?
I don't remember. I think we got a call.
Yeah.
Everyone had a similar experience on set to you?
Pretty much. I mean, you know, not, you know, like Megan and Will were treated so differently because they had like real writers, you know. They had like their contracts were like the Star Wagons and the you know, the exclusive rides, and like they wouldn't. They wanted. They were like, "Well, we're going to treat you the same way, but you guys, you know, just because you're always in the scenes together, we're just going to sort of like couple you guys, you know." So, but that wasn't. It wasn't at all what happened. It was just. It was rough. So, why did we start talking about that?
Because we were talking about.
Like, people are going. You know what's going to happen? People are going to be like, "Oh yeah, he's like, oh, this guy with everything and a movie star like, whining about his job." I'm like, I go, you know, I'm like going in to clean the toilets again, and he's like, well, I'm,
"I don't
like,
hear that from you at
there's
all."
No
right
no. There's no winning.
There's
no. I shouldn't talk about this. My wife is going to stab me when I get home.
No, you're honest. I think we appreciate it, and our audience appreciates that
well,
as well.
Because not everything. I think you have a dream, and not everything ends up looking like what you thought your dream is going
to
be.
What I want it to look like, and this is the way I treat it when I produce things now, I treat people with the kind of respect that I want to be treated with that I didn't get on some of these projects. So, you know, they're met with like some they're met with just like a human component to the whole thing and do what you say you're going to do, you know. So it's as simple as that. But
before this, I heard that you – this was in like 2015 that you had been trying to move from the TV space to movies and you had successfully done that, Hunger Games, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But now one of my favorite things that I'm watching you on is Titans. I'm just
completely – Oh, cool. Yeah,
I'm completely obsessed with that show. I'm DC obsessed in general. But you are going back to TV. You've got movies and television now. Is it because it's a streaming service that you feel like it is a different caliber of show, or are you just interested in, again, doing all different kinds of work again?
Yeah, I wanted to go back to TV, and they pitched me on that show, and I was like, I don't know, man. I did this. Didn't I do this on CW? Like, didn't I start this
one?
It's a DC character. And Jeff Johns called me and he pitched me the show and he's like, it's so different than that. And I promise it's going to look amazing and very dark and gritty. You're like this pill popping vigilante, like addiction, you know, like it's really gritty. And I was like, oh, that actually sounds pretty good.
And you got Minka Kelly as your counterpart.
Minka Kelly,
not too shabby.
So it was like the now I'm all worked up from my Ninja Turtle story.
I love it.
So it was, it sounded cool. And they lived up to every promise that they made, you know, creatively speaking. I mean, it really just, it was what they said it was going to be. And it's been a blast. I love the show. I love being a part of it.
I love you being a part of it, too. We never know when your character is going to pop in or not.
Right.
Have you talked about a season 3 or what's happening there
when
it comes to Hawk?
So we had an interesting deal going into that where it was this sort of dual, you know, we'll put you on Titans for a little bit, you know, and just see how those characters go. And if it goes well, you know, here's another deal for your own show. So we want to do like a Hawk and Dove thing, but we got to figure out this platform first. So it's all been kind of up in the air, and you know, brought us into Titans and really responded. You know, while we were still in season one, I mean, got a call right away. They're like, they're seeing, you know, dailies from your work, and like they want to bring you guys back. So the back half of the season, we appear more. So we didn't really know how we fit in, and just enjoyed the ride the first season. Loved the show, watched it when it came out, and I was like, oh, this is really great. I hope we're more a part of this. They bring us back as regulars, but, you know, I think we're now, like, if you're going into season 2 and 3 and onward, we're just a part of the group.
Now that we have HBO Max coming, though, with DC Universe, do you have any idea what's going on with those two properties? And if
they're trying to figure out how to roll it all together, it's a lot of – I mean, you've got a lot of entities, like the DC world, like trying to figure out their own thing and, you know, DC Universe and investing a lot into that. And then Warner Brothers trying to figure out how to make it all work together. So there's a lot of moving parts, and I think I, as well as a lot of people involved, like can't – there's really no answer.
Right.
But I think they'd like to figure out a way to, you know, roll everything in together.
I was going to say, you know, since Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and this show, obviously, you run a show called Blood Drive with my friend Christina. Do you do a lot of the sci-fi projects? Is that something that, like, really attracts you? Like, are those...
I think what attracts me the most – yes, I love sci-fi. But I think what attracts me the most is, like, an original concept.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is why something like Turkey Bowl is, like, such an easy – sell, you know, these guys, it's a comedy. I really love Greg and Kirk, who wrote it, and Greg, who's directing, and I wanted to see how that went. But it's original, you know, so I'm really drawn to that kind of thing. And Blood Drive is the same way. I mean, I remember they gave me all 13 scripts to read out of the gate, which is super rare. I mean, usually you see maybe a little of the first one, if any. And I read all of them before, you know, jumping in. I was like, man, this is so fun.
It's an awesome show, yeah.
So fun. And I think it was, you know, every show needs a season, you know, a season to figure itself out. So I think they pulled the plug a little early on that one, but it was a blast. It was a blast to me.
As an actor, I'm curious because you're a part of these huge brands like Titans, and you've done Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and now you're talking
Hunger
about
Games.
Hunger Games, and you're talking about this original material with Turkey Bowl. Do you find as an actor, are you getting more like based on IP stuff offered to you or more original stuff offered to you? And it sounds like you want more original stuff.
More original, yeah. I've just started making my own, you know. So I do get a lot of stuff offered, but a lot of it is more original because you've got. So what we have is studios that each make 4 theatrical films a year for 100 million plus. You know, they have like their subsidiaries that'll make a few. You know, like Fox Searchlight or whatever that sure. makes like their smaller, more indie style films. But even those are very, you know. They're still A-list cast-driven, you know, products just for a different kind of artsy crowd or whatever, Sundance crowd. So that's all spoken for. Like all that space is filled with Chris Pratt and, you know, like
– Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah. So it's hard to fit in there, you know, until it's the right role at the right time. You know, like it was Wedding Ringer was a really – perfect opportunity, you know, for something at one of the studios with Sony making a comedy with Kevin Hart and Josh Gad just playing this crazy part of this crazy motley crew, you know, it was the right thing for me at the right time. So unless it's that, I'm not going to be filling that space as much as these other guys. So that really leaves you with like the indie crowd. And a lot of that stuff is original, thankfully. So that's good. But I'm now, you know, I've now moved behind the camera and making a lot of that stuff and writing that stuff myself. So I'm just one of those guys that believes like if there's a problem, don't complain about it, fix it, you know. So I'm trying to. But a lot of sci-fi stuff too, to your point. Like I love that magic and realism is really where my voice lies as a filmmaker.
Going back to Turkey Bowl, because again, I did love this movie and I think it's great for this time of year as well. Coming home, Thanksgiving time. Ben, you said it was like Tag Meets Just Friends.
Felt like Tag Meets Just Friends. A lot of like some of the games. And the funny thing is, a lot of those comedies. So you play this like he's a comedic villain, basically, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So growing up, like Shooter McGavin and Happy Gilmore
is
the best part of that movie. He's the thing that you remember the most about that movie. And I was noticing we were watching it, and I was like, he's the funniest part of the movie. He's the best part of the movie.
Oh,
like,
and we liked the movie, but you're the best part. Yeah, he did a great job.
Because every time you'd have one of those moments, I'd be like, the comedic chops on a guy that's this good looking, that's you don't see that often. Like, you just have it. Like the timing is there. So I really, really, really enjoyed that, and it did feel like a lot of those movies that I like watching, the Just Friends of the World and the.
Yeah,
and the tags.
I love that. Yeah, I just you know you struggle as an artist to go like, what's my purpose? Like, what good am I doing? Am I contributing anything worthwhile to the world? You know, playing like a dumb jock on. And I've learned over the years how important I think it is. There's two reasons why we should make film or tell stories. You know, there's you know, one purely for entertainment, which is a very important kind of escapism, you know, and with temperance, I think that's like necessary. And there's one to sow the seeds of a new idea, you know, that gets us talking or rethinking, our view of the world. And sometimes they mix, and that's the best kind, in my opinion, but sometimes they don't. And sometimes pure escapism is what we're doing. And this is that. It's just a good time. Remember my first house in L.A.? It was a dump. In a crappy neighborhood, it was the best I could do, and I was so a lot of break-ins, a lot of like you know, it was a lot of crime in that area. And
is this the Encino Russians place or different?
This was also this was Van Nuys. Sorry to anybody who lives in Van Nuys.
We've all rolled through there.
Part of Van Nuys that was not so. Anyway, so I remember there was a guy who I can't. Is this like rated R? I mean,
yeah.
If you need to curse, man, let him fly.
I can tell you the story.
Yes.
Gross. Okay. So there was a guy. I had security cameras everywhere because there's so much shit happening, right?
Yeah.
And there was a guy in this little walkway next to our house who, for some reason, we noticed every Wednesday at 11 o'clock, we get a little sensor would go off and we like the cameras would turn on. We're like, what is this? The guy would masturbate on our fence and put a ski mask on and start to hop our fence. And then he would, like, get cold feet. So like the thought of breaking into a house got him so revved up that he would masturbate, and then getting over the fence, it was like, ah, it's too much of it. So we started noticing. So one day,
multiple times this happened.
Multiple times.
Oh my God,
I started noticing because Wednesday night our guy's coming to break in again. And so now we know there's a pattern, right? So then, you know, same thing. 11 o'clock at night on Wednesday, this dude comes probably watching right now like, oh, that's me. He's just masturbating on the fence. I call the cops. And I'm like, you know, if this guy breaks in, I'm on the phone with the cop. I'm protecting this family from whatever this guy's got. And he puts the ski mask on. He's got a ski mask on. He's jumping the fence. Okay, we're on the way, sir. We're on the way. Same thing. He gets halfway through my backyard and then turns and walks away like cold feet. Probably good move for him. And he leaves. So the cops show up, right? And I'm like in the alley. And there's the semen officer. That's the scene of the crime. Collect the sample. He's like, we're not collecting a sample. Like, we got to find out who this guy is, can't you? There's tons of DNA in that. Yeah. It's swimming all over this alley. So he wouldn't do it. I was like, kind of cops are you? You know, like I see what happens on TV. Swab that up, and we got the guy. They come inside. So like all this is going on, and I'm like all worked up because I can't stand that this is happening. I don't feel safe. And one of the guys is a new guy. One of the cops is a new guy. I've never seen him there before. I had a couple out before. And he was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, you're Thad. You're Thad from Blue Mountain State. And he starts to get all like emotional. And I was like, yeah. He was like, you don't know what you've done for me. And I was like, what do you mean? He was like, the other day, and he starts crying. He was like, I had this like 11-year-old kid. He's in a gang trying to get initiated. He's dying in my arms from a gunshot wound, and I'm just trying to be there going like, why am I the last person this kid's ever going to see on this earth? This is so wrong. And so now I'm crying because I'm like, oh, my God. And he was like, so I go home at night. There's no way you can deal with this kind of thing. How do you deal with this? I don't know what to do with all this anger and rage and the pain. And so I turn your show on. And it just, for 30 minutes, I feel like it's okay.
Yeah.
And I was like, ugh. I give him a hug, and I was like, wow, there's something important about what we're doing, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's like not to be too self-inflated, but that idea of like, it's okay just to entertain people. Anyway, I look at it all differently.
Yeah. That took the most amazing turn. I did not think that's where the semen police officer was going to go. But I love that story. Again, Alan Richson here promoting Turkey Bowl, a movie that we both really liked. That's going to be in select theaters on demand Friday, November 22nd. Perfect timing for this kind of movie. Thank you so much, Alan, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Ben Bateman, everybody can find you.
You guys can find me at Ben Bateman Media all over the internets. Thanks, guys, for having me.
Come and do it.
Mark Riley, Cody Hall. We'll see you guys tomorrow morning for Collider Live.
Napa know-how. Get all the quality parts you need at your locally owned Napa. Because right now, when you order from Napa online, you can pick up curbside at your local store in just 30 minutes. Or get your order delivered direct to your door with free one-day shipping and over 160,000 quality parts when you spend $35 or more. Quality parts, delivered quickly and safely. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating stores, standard ground shipping and exclusions apply.
Shop Black Friday Week Deals Sunday through Friday at Kohl's. Plus, get $15 Kohl's cash for every $50 spent. And take an extra 15% off. Get the big one throws, $8.49. Toastmaster small appliances are just $2.14 after rebate. And Fitbit Versa 2 is $129.99. Plus, take 30% off Lego, 70% off fine jewelry, and save on boots for her, $16.99. Plus, get fast and free store pickup. Shop Black Friday Week Deals at Kohl's and Kohl's.com.
Select styles. Offers valid November 22nd through the 27th. 15% off with promo code ENJOY15. Lego and Fitbit offers and coupons do not apply. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.